Okay. We are about to begin. I need to put it over here.
Okay, Vicky, have fun.
Okay, everyone. Tonight, first of all, tonight is a special night, being that it's Beis Nisan. First of all, a good evening and a good Chodesh to all of you. Let it be a month of Geula and a month of redemption, growth in our private lives and our and for all of Israel. Tonight is also Beis Nisan, which is the yard site of the Rebbe Rishab. So it's an auspicious night, one of the seven translators of Hasidic thought, transmitters of the teachings of Hasidus to the world, one of the seven shepherds. And tonight we're going to study a maimer, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem, on Daf Beis, on Lekut HaTorah of Parshas Vayikra. The maimer that we're studying tonight is extremely, extremely fundamental for anybody, for, you know, Hasidic, to the Hasidic approach in life, particularly any person who wants to grow spiritually, and any person who wants to ascend in their relationship with God, really needs to study this maimer. This is something that you have to keep with yourselves constantly. This is like the handbook for spirituality. This is so fundamental. This week's parsha, Torah portion, deals with sacrifices. And the verse begins with God spoke to Moshe. He called to him, May Oel Moed, from the tent of meeting, that's the Mishkan. And over there God calls to Moshe and he tells him that I'm going to relate to you the mitzvahs in regards to the sacrifices that were offered in the temple. The sacrifices can be understood as animal sacrifices, but also, as we're going to learn tonight, the sacrifices have a deeper meaning. Korban comes from the word kiruv, closeness, and it's really teaches every human being or every person, every Jew, how to get close to God. Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man wants to get close to God. How do we get close to God? It starts with the verse, the mimer starts on the verse that opens up this parasha. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban lashem, a man that will offer from amongst you a sacrifice for God. So the Alter Rebbe is going to start over here with a few interesting questions, which if you read the verse, you read the pasuk, as the pasuk is stated, you translate it, it comes out, it seems to be a very, there's a few inconsistencies in the verse. First of all, the verse begins like this, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban lashem, a man who will offer from amongst you a karban, an offering to God. Min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzayin, from the animals, from the cattle, from the sheep, takrivu es karbanchem, you should offer your sacrifices. So first the question the Alter Rebbe is going to pose is, how come in the beginning of the verse, it begins in third person? Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man who will offer from amongst you. So we're speaking about a man that isn't here. It doesn't say one of you guys who are going to offer. It says Adam, a man. A man speaking about someone who isn't here. It's called in third person. The conclusion of the verse is, Takrivu es karban chem. From the animal, from the sheep, from the cattle, you should offer your sacrifice. That's in second person, speaking directly, as if he's speaking to them. Not about the person. It should have said, Yakriv es karbano. He should offer his sacrifice. What is this? Takrivu es karbanchem. You should offer your sacrifice. Second question, which seems to be interesting, is the beginning speaks in singular. Adam ki yakriv, a person when he will offer. Speaking as if we're speaking about one person. Later it says, takrivu es karbanchem, you should offer your sacrifices. We're dealing with many people offering sacrifices. So how come it switches from third person singular to many second person? Direct. That's the second question. The third question is, the way the verse reads seems to be a little, if you can say, clumsy. Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man who will offer from amongst you a sacrifice. It would have been better if it would have said, Adam mikem ki yakriv karban Hashem, a man of you who will offer a sacrifice. Not a man who will offer from you a sacrifice. That wouldn't do well if someone would be writing a paper or something. They would, in school, I would write something like that. And that's why my... But that's not the right way of saying something. It should have said, a man from amongst you who will offer, not a man who will offer from amongst you a sacrifice. Now, we can read the pasuk and say, well, okay, the Torah must have, you know, chose it to write this way because of whatever reason, whatever. Or we can take an examination of how the Alter Rebbe reads this, and then we go, this is all that says in this verse, and the Torah chooses these words because it means something so beyond anything imaginable. So let's read. Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man who will offer from amongst you, lahavin, to understand, he begins not direct. He begins in third person. Adam ki yakriv, a man that will offer, as if we're speaking about someone who isn't present. Lashanistar. Lashanistar meaning the person that we're speaking about is concealed, he's not here. The Sayyim, and he concludes, takrivu es karbanchem, you should offer your sacrifice. As if he's speaking to them directly in second person. Lashanoichach, which means direct. The gam, and the second question is, yakriv lashin yachid. When it says adam ki yakriv, when he will offer, speaking about one person, it doesn't say adam or I guess whatever ki yakrivu when they will offer. It says when he will offer. V'takrivu es karbanchem, and then the end of the verse is you should offer your sacrifice. Is speaking plural lashin rabim, many. The gam, the hevel elul meimer. Third question is, it should have said, milas mikem koidim. It should have said the word mikem from amongst you first. Adam mikem kiyakriv, a man from amongst you. Kiyakriv, mikem koidim kiyakriv. It should have said the word mikem before kiyakriv. Hainu adam mikem, a man from amongst you who will offer kiyakriv. So in order to understand all these questions, he's going to explain that this verse also has a higher meaning, a deeper meaning. And when God is telling us about offering sacrifice, we're not only speaking about the animal sacrifices that were offered in the temple, but each and every one of us getting close to God, the method. The Torah is teaching us how to get close to God in a successful way, in a permanent way, in a way that we don't go through the ups and downs, the fluctuations, the ins and the outs, in a way that there can be consistency in our relationship with God. However, hinei noida, it is known sheyesh b'chol echad beis nefashis, that in every single Jew, in every single person, there are two souls. Nefesh alikis v'nefesh abahamis, there is a godly soul and there is an animal soul. Asha nefesh alikis, which the godly soul, sharsham ebchenas adam. Its root is from the level called man, the supernal level called man. We all know this is the kernel, this is the foundation of the book of Tanya, beginning already in the first chapter in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe introduced us to this idea taken from the Arizal, from the Eitz Chaim, where he speaks about the idea that every single Jew possesses two souls. Meaning, instead of what we usually think of, we always know that we have a tug within us that pulls us, an inclination towards good and an inclination towards evil. That is a concept that is very well established and known in Judaism. And we have Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. That doesn't begin. That we see already in the Chumash, that we have these various inclinations. But the new Kabbalistic idea that we get from the Arizal is that it's not just two inclinations, but rather two complete souls, two different characters, two complete personalities that reside within a human being. These souls, one of them is called the Nefesh HaBahamis, the animal soul, because that's the soul that constitutes our physical life. That's what gives us our physical vitality, that the job, the point, the purpose of this soul is to enliven us biologically, to give us the biological, physical existence, so that the body can function as a body and do all of its physical things. This soul is also called animal, because besides the fact that it animates the body, but rather also because of its character, that it's like an animal. Just like an animal is completely into itself, an animal is completely materialistic, the animal doesn't know of anything higher in life, does not serving a higher purpose. It is, but it doesn't know of it, it's not conscious of anything beyond itself. All it knows is its own needs, its own fears, it's busy taking care of itself. It's completely self-absorbed. Not to blame the animal, but that's the way the animal is created, that it knows of nothing but taking care of itself. So too, this type of this soul that we all possess within ourselves is the selfish part, what we might call the ego, which is completely obsessed with its own self. It wants, all it wants is to satiate its desires, its pleasures. It seeks constantly to be fulfilled in a very physical way. That is our animal soul. But then we also possess a higher soul, a divine consciousness, a soul that is seeks spirituality, a soul that seeks transcendence, a soul that seeks to connect to what is truer, what is deeper than what is superficially experienced. And that is this godly soul, the Nefesh HaLikis, the godly soul. And that is part of the very makeup of a Jew, that we possess this higher soul, this higher part. And it's a complete being. These two souls are sent down to live together on earth for 120 years or whatever the lifespan of a human being is. And as we're going to see soon, the purpose of these souls, these two souls is what constitute the entire struggle of human life. We have within ourselves every moment of our life a struggle. We always feel that we're constantly being pulled downward. There's a part of us that just wants to eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die, so we can chaparai and grab whatever we can from the physical life, suck the marrow out of life, get everything out, enjoy every moment of it to the fullest, just for the sake of enjoyment. And then there is a something within us that we constantly experience, some people more often, some people more from time to time, is that there's something in us that's dissatisfied with all the physical accomplishments and possessions, and it's seeking something deeper. It's seeking to connect to a higher reality. And that's due to our neshama, due to our soul. Now, the reason why God sends these two souls together is because God wants that the godly soul should influence the animal soul, should refine, transform, and that the very animal in man should be elevated and lifted up to a higher place. In this mimer, the Alter Rebbe is not going to discuss so much the nature of the two souls per se in their own, but rather the two souls, their source of the two souls, where they come from, where they stem from. Because we know that everything in this world has its source in the higher realms. Things don't begin in the physical realm. Our world is the bottom world under a chain-like progression of various different worlds, different levels of existence that there are. And therefore the two souls exist physical. The only thing that begins in our world really is the physical reality. But the soul of every creature, the energy of every creature, exists already in another form, in a higher form, in a higher world. And that in turn is a lower manifestation of even a higher type of existence of that very same soul, of that very same creature, that very same being. So if this is true about everything, it's true about our two souls. The godly soul in man and the animal soul in man, both of them exist on a higher plane. What's the root? He's going to begin by first explaining what's the root of the godly soul. So the root of the godly soul, of course, is in a very high level of spiritual, a very high level within the spiritual worlds. But more than that, the root of the godly soul is that it's called the godly soul because its root is in God Himself. It's not only rooted in the higher, in the more loftier spiritual domains. This neshama, in its very core source, is embedded and rooted in God itself. And that's why the soul is called the soul of man. It's the man in man. There's the animal in man, and the soul in man. This is the intellectual soul, the soul that wants to know more about life, because it stems from the level called the supernal man. The supernal man is God. As we know, in Yecheskel, in Yeskiel, where it discusses over there the chariot, the vision that Yecheskel had. So he saw a vision, and in the vision he saw that the heavenly throne was being carried by four beasts. There were four beasts, the four animals. There was a shoir, an ox on one side, there was a lion on the other side. On the right side there was a lion, on the left side there was an ox. And then there was a bird, an eagle, and then on one side there was the face of a man. Okay, but above that, then there was the throne, and above the throne there was the image of a human being, kipnei adam. Now, of course, it's not only allegorically speaking, but there was some type of image of a human image over there. And this is referring to God, the one who sits on the throne. Which, of course, as we understand, that God himself is beyond all image. God doesn't have a human image. But God chooses to relate to the world in a manner that we can relate to him. So we know the verse says, God created us in his image. What's the image that God created us? It means that just like we are created, the human soul is created, works in a manner of, there are 10 faculties that comprise our human character, and that is 3 intellectual faculties and 3 intellectual powers and 7 emotional powers. So too, God chose to manifest himself in that same manner towards the creation through 3 intellectual attributes and 7 emotional attributes. And those, generally refer to them as the Esser Spheros. Those Esser Spheros consist, that's the dynamic, that's what comprises the divine man, the Adam HaElyon. Our neshama, our soul, has these 10 faculties because it's derived from the Esser Spheros, from the divine attributes. And that's why, the inner reason why it's called Adam man, because it comes from the real man, the quintessential man, the man of men, which is the Pnei Adam, the face of man, that's the face of God that is the image of man. So let's read it inside. Nefesh olikis, the godly soul, shar sham epchinas Adam. Its root is from the man. K'mosha kasev, as it says, vayivra lekim es ha'adam b'talmai. God created man in his image. What does it mean, God created the man? This refers to our divine soul, our godly soul. This soul is derived from God's image. That's why it's godlike. And it works in the same way that the Esser Sephiros work. Ekseiv, it also says, Al de Musakise, and on the image on top of the image that was above the throne, the Mus Kamara Adam, and on the image of the throne, because the throne is also only an image of a throne and isn't a real throne. So on the image of the throne, the Mus Kamara Adam, there is an image of an appearance of a man. This is similar to what we learned in the Maimon. We actually learned this a few weeks ago. We're talking about that they saw God and they saw his feet, and we were learning about what was beneath his feet. So we're talking about the idea of God being the image of a man, and over there we were learning that that's really the source of all of our souls. That's the Pnei Adam. The Pnei Adam consists of our souls, and some souls are embedded in the intellect of God, some souls in the emotions, but nevertheless the souls of the Jewish people comprise the image of, come from that place. And that's the original source of the soul. But the soul travels down. The soul descends from that lofty place. The soul makes its way down from that place into the creation. That place is beyond the creation, still in the realm of the divine. But the neshama comes down into the creation. As the soul comes down into the creation, we would think that the soul, on this point, it gets disconnected, in a sense, from the image of man. It loses its connection to that place and becomes very creation-like, and therefore might not be any more man-like, because man, the true man, is the godly man, and the soul now descends into the creation, so it's detached from that place. So he says, no. Even when the soul descends, it descends through the image of man within the creation, which means, if we mentioned before, there's two levels of man. There's a level of man that is beyond the creation. That's the man that's above the throne. But Yechezkel, when he saw the four beasts, which were not, which weren't God, which were creations of God, which were angelic beasts, very high angels, the closest angels to God. One of them, three of them had the face of animals, but one of them had the face of man. So what does that mean? That it's the when the soul, which originally comes, which is really beyond the level of creation, completely beyond the level of creation, which stems from the divine man, when it makes its way down, even it's channeling down, it comes through this image of man, of the angel called man, which means from the angels itself, it's a superior angel, the angel that has the resemblance to God. And that is, it is also the image of man. And that's what helps, that's what enables the soul to remain man-like, to retain that godliness, despite the fact that it travels and it descends through millions of levels until it can come down into the body. But it retains, because it comes down through the Pnei Adam of the beast called man. As he said, and even the neshama's progression down below, it's through the face of man that's in the chariot. So that's one soul. However, he says like this, the nefesh abahamis. Then we have also the animal soul. The nefesh abahamis, as we mentioned before, the animal in man, which is completely self-centered and animalistic. So that soul, who nilkecha. Now, see what the Alter Rebbe wants to create over here is a contrast that we should see clearly the difference between these two souls. Why one of them is so spiritual, so godlike, constantly soaring towards heaven, seeking spirituality, seeking to connect to God, and how come the other soul is so earthly, so physical, so into itself, so detached from godliness and holiness? So what is the reason for that? He says, because the second soul, who nilka. Now the second soul, even this animal soul, is also not a creation that begins in our world, a world of divine concealment. Our world is the world that where God is completely blocked. He's completely concealed. There is no expression, vivid, conspicuous expression of God in this world. He's hidden. He's concealed in this world. However, so we could think that this soul is a physical creation. It stems from the physical reality. If it stems from the physical reality, we can understand why it's so uninspired towards holiness and godliness. But he explains, no, this soul also comes from the spiritual domain, because every creature and every energy in this world has its source in a higher place. Where does this soul come from? The nefesh abaham is the animal. In nilkechot, it comes, mishimrei ha'ofanim. It comes from the waste of the ofanim. When we speak about angels, we know there are various levels of angels. The highest angels are called Srafim v'chayes ha'kodesh. Holy beasts, those are the beasts of the Egypt. Srafim are the soul, are angels that are called fiery angels because they burn up with yearning to God. Then there's a lower form of angels called Ofanim. Ofanim are the lowest types of Ofanim barash gado, we say in davening. The Ofanim make a lot of noise. Well, they're the angels, the lowest form of them. Now they too are extremely spiritual. And they too are deeply passionate and serve God with incredible awe and with incredible love, but on a much lower level than the other angels. The lowest level of angels are called Ofanim. They're also called animals, because angels in general are called spiritual beasts, spiritual animals. So the Ofanim is the lowest form of angel. Now this animal soul could not have come directly from a holy angel, because if it would come directly from an holy angel, then it would be holy itself. But the fact for the animal soul to be so mundane, so earthly, so it can't come directly from the angel. Where does it come from? It comes from the waste of the lowest form of angel. What does it mean, the waste of this lowest form of angel? Just like in the human experience, when we eat food, so the food, the way the food is processed is, you have food, that food has within it all kinds of nutrients and vitamins, and all kinds of good stuff that the body can benefit from. Then there is waste. The process of eating is digestion process is to separate the goods from the bad. Now the finest of the food, the best of the best, the highest quality nutrients, if you can say, of the food, that aspect gets taken to serve as energy for the brain, for the mind, and for the heart. Then a coarser level a lesser quality nutrition gets absorbed by other limbs. The coarser the limbs are, the coarser the food can be, the nutrition that it gets. That which is totally waste, that which is completely, that which cannot serve as to any benefit, even to the most coarsest, the lowliest of limbs, that gets rejected out of the body. That's called the psoas. So just like it is within us, that's the way life is processed through all worlds. Angels are called the digestion. There are angels that are called the kravayim, the stomach, because it's their process. They process the divine energy. The higher the energy gets absorbed by the highest creatures in the highest worlds. That which is too coarse, that which is a lower force, gets channeled down to the lower force, to a lower realm of existence, and they derive their energy from it. Then they themselves process whatever is waste to them, becomes the nutrition to the lower realm. And this gets passed down lower and lower and lower and lower, until we get to the lowest angels. That which is the waste of the waste, meaning the waste of, which over here we're dealing with already, the waste meaning it has been so coarsened to the point that holy beings cannot derive any energy from it anymore. So it's thick, meaning lacking godly awareness. This becomes the root. This is where the animal soul begins. This is where Klipa, really, the whole realm of the unholy, begins to receive its nutrition. They take their energy, because evil and unholiness also come from God. But they receive at the bottom of the waste of the waste. That's why they're called chitzonim, the external forces, because they take the most external energy as it trickles down to be a source of them. At that point, there is very hardly any godly awareness. There is some godly awareness, because to be sure, in any spiritual realm, there is a sense that there is a creator, that God is a source of existence. Even the most wicked, if you can say, of angels, even the most wicked in the spiritual realms have to acknowledge God, and they cannot disobey Him. They can be extremely, they can have nasty desires or wants, but they can't implement them because they know that God is the boss. However, it's only in the physical where God can be completely ignored. Because in the physical over here, things are so concealed that one doesn't sense at all that it comes from God. So this animal soul, where is its source in heaven? Its source is in heaven, is in the realm of Klipa called Shimrei Ephanim, the waste of these lower angels, where over there already, God can be semi-ignored. He's not so felt. However, that's not the source of source. That's the source. That's the root of the animal soul. That's why the animal can be so low. However, he goes and he traces it higher. What's the real source of the animal soul? It must have a higher source. Because we said before, it's the waste from them. The waste comes from a higher place. In order for it to be just like the waste of the food, first was part of the food. So it comes in a higher, and then it just gets separated. So the waste really comes even from a higher place. So where is the real source? We can say the source of the animal soul. The source of soul is in the Merkava, in the chariot of God, on the face of the ox. The Pnei Shor Shebe Merkava. We said earlier, there's the four animals, the four beasts. Then there is the face of the ox. So the source of all of the animal soul comes from the animal called, now over there, it's an extremely holy angel. This is the angel that's carrying the Kisei HaKavod, carrying the divine throne, God's throne. Nevertheless, it's an animal. And we'll see soon what it means, constitutes the fact that it's an animal. But it's a very holy animal. That's the root of the animal soul. Now, the thing is like this. So which really means like this. That the root of all craving, of all animal passion, of all desires that we have, even our Yetzahara, even our evil inclination, what's its root of roots is a holy craving, is a holy passion. Because it really stems from the desires, the explosive emotions of passion and love that the angels that are called, that constitute the ox, the heavenly ox above, is pursues and yearns and longs for God's light. But the problem is it gets perverted as it gets trickled down into the lower realms of existence where God's light gets more and more concealed. It begins to mistake or misinterpret pleasure. Instead of it being divine pleasure, it begins to see the world and physical pleasure as a thing unto its own. And that's where it gets sort of, it loses that thing. And that's what happens. And that's the difference between the soul of man, the godly soul, and the animal soul. Both of them come from a very high place. And really, even the animal soul also has a divine source, because all of creation has to have a source in the divine. So, but the difference really is as follows. The godly soul comes down as it is. It doesn't inherently, essentially change. What it is, when it was a piece of God from above, that's the way it descends. Yes, of course, it's impacted by the descent, and to some degree it's coarsened, but the change, the transformation that takes place in the godly soul, in the neshama, is only external. Internal, it remains the same. The animal soul, as it descends in each world, it gets completely metamorphosized, completely changed, to become like that world, to become like that level. Till it reaches the point where it's his real source, we say the waste of the Ofanim, there it's completely or almost completely oblivious of God. When it comes down into the body, it has absolutely no sense of spirituality and godliness, and all it is attracted to is to what the physical life has to offer. And that's our animal soul. These are the two souls. Let's read it inside. The nefesh habahamis and the animal soul, hinilkecha, it comes, mishimrei ofanim, from the waste of the ofanim. Visharshan, its root, its more superior root, mipchinas pnei shor, from the face of the ox. We'll see soon why it's so important for the Alter Rebbe to emphasize this. Simply, he seems to want to emphasize the contrast. This comes from a very holy place, from the face of man, from the man who is above the throne. This comes from the lowest level of spirituality. So why emphasize that this soul also comes from the face of the ox? Because we're going to see in a minute that the point of the animal soul is not that it should remain an animal. The point of the animal is that we should be redeemed, it should be elevated, it should be purified. The power to elevate it is to reconnect it to its real source, to its real place where it comes from. But that takes a lot of work, as we're going to see. The tachlis yiridus haneshama la'olam hazeh, and the ultimate point of the descent, the purpose for why the soul descended into this world, hu kedei levader nahab, nefesh habahamis, is in order to refine the animal soul. Liyois bepchinas eskafya v'eshapcha, is in order to refine the animal soul, that it should be in a state of eskafya, it should be first subjugated, v'eshapcha, and transformed. What does that mean? Why did God send these two souls together? So it would be possible for someone to say, why did these two souls come down together into one body to reside together? It would make sense to say, man has to choose which life he wants to live. Do you want to live the life of the animal, live an earthy life, completely obsessed with materialism? Or do you want to follow your godly instincts? Do you want to listen to your godly soul? And then it would be just our choice to choose which life we want to live. The Alter Rebbe says it's not that. It's not that, you know, we can either follow our godly soul or follow our animal soul. The point in life is to refine, to transform the very animal. Meaning that very part of us that is so resistant, that is so inhospitable, that is so unyielding towards God, that is so stuck up in itself, should break its ego, first surrender to God's will, so that light will enter into darkness, so that the darkest places of creation should be illuminated with godly light, so the animal soul itself should begin to serve God, first against its will, because the animal soul in the beginning is going to go kicking and screaming. It doesn't want to do it, because it doesn't want to give up on its pleasures. It doesn't want to give up on its delights. It wants to do what it wants to do. So at the initial stages, we're dealing with what we called, last week we spoke about it, it's called eskafya, you're breaking yourself. You haven't yet transformed yourself, you're just forcing the animal in you to get out of bed in the morning an hour earlier so you can go to the minyan and daven. You really don't want to, but you do it. So that's the breaking of it. But after a while, the ultimate purpose is not just to break the animal, but to refine the animal, to teach the animal that there is something higher, purer, more pleasurable, more delightful. You just have to open up your eyes to recognize a deeper dimension of existence. And that means to change the very passions of the animal, to change its very emotions and redirect it towards holiness and godliness. So that's the point. The point of the godly soul is not for itself. The neshama did not come down in this world, as it says in Tanya, the soul does not come down into this world for its own tikkun. The soul doesn't have to be rectified. The soul is perfect. She's taken from God, and that aspect doesn't need any purification. It doesn't need any embellishment. When the soul comes down and below, it's only for the sole purpose to rectify the unholy, to bring holiness into the body and the animal soul. Ukadei levar nefesh b'hamis, to refine the animal, liyos bepchinas eskapya, so that first it should be subjugated to God, it should consent against it, it should do what it needs to do even if it's against its will, and then vishapcha, and then be transformed. V'hainu, and how is this accomplished? V'hainu, al yedei nefesh elikis. That's accomplished through our godly soul. In other words, there is something in us that is intrinsically divine. We have within us all the spirituality that we need. We have a godly soul. Our purpose is that we have to dig into our godly soul, tap into it, open it up, reveal the energy that we have in our godly soul, and transmit that influence into the animal. Al yedei nefesh elikis, through the godly soul, hamis labeshes ba, that encloses itself in the animal. It's a very important word over here. He says, "Amas labeshes ba," that it encloses itself in it, which means that these two souls—it's not only that they share the same body, but we can think that, you know, they remain two distinct beings. This was a godly self and this animal self. It doesn't work that way. The godly soul becomes completely enveloped in the animal soul, which means that they become so deeply united that it's hard to tell where is one and what's the other. Meaning most stimuli within the human being, or which even, let's say, the stimuli that's coming from your godly soul has to work its way through the animal and man. Everything that you do, now there are activity that you will do that the godly soul, that doesn't involve the godly soul. Which means when you're doing an animalistic act, the godly soul of course is sleeping, because the godly soul is not interested in that, especially if you're doing a sin. The godly soul is not inspiring that act, it's not interested in it. It's stimulated only by the animal and man, and the godly soul is crying silently. It doesn't like what is being done, but it's not having an effect on what is happening. Okay, but when a person is connected to a deeper place, a deeper part of his psyche, he's connected to his godly soul, and he's inspired to do a mitzvah, he's inspired to pray, so that prayer, even though initially it's starting in the godly soul, however, it's spilling over into the animal soul. Because in order to move your lips and your tongue to utter words, you need to get the body to move. To get the body to move, you need the physical engine. The physical engine is this animal soul. So the godly soul can only work in the body through the animal soul. But by doing that, it's refining the animal. It's taking something that is inherently rebellious to God and getting it to be instrumental in fulfilling God's will or doing a mitzvah and so forth. But these two souls are become so entwined and together with each other. Therefore, our job is, through the godly soul being so one with the animal soul, day by day it should chip away. Slowly. This is not a quick process. This is a lifetime of a work which takes to refine the animal and man. To purify that ego should be should be elevated.
Did they don't coexist side by side?
No, they exist one inside the other.
So how do they become enmeshed?
One is put inside the other to the point that when the neshama wants to speak to you, it to make its way heard within your conscious mind, to some degree it has to involve the animal thought process, because or else you couldn't feel it in the physical brain. The godly soul in it by itself is too refined, too elegant, too lofty for it to stimulate any physical reaction. It's too of a high frequency, if you can say, for the body to respond to it. So any stimuli coming from the neshama has to first be stimulated into the animal soul. The animal soul is a spirit. It's a low spirit, it's a coarse spirit, it's still a spirit. So it's able to receive the stimuli coming from the godly soul and then transmit it into the body and activate the body into holy behavior.
These two spirits are coming from very
different places, but when they enter into man, they fuse into one. Yeah, we'll understand a little more as we move. But how is this accomplished? Ayadei nefesh elikis, through the godly soul, hamas labeshes ba, that encloses itself in it, umizboinenes ba'ashem echad, and particularly through the neshama contemplating the oneness of God, the kriya shema, at the reciting of the shema. Shema Yisrael. The main part of a person's avod, of a Jew's service to God, to accomplish this is accomplished during davening. Particularly when we say Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel. Because the time of Shema Yisrael is a time for deep meditation. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is not only a proclamation in our firm belief that there's no other God by God, but God, there's only one God, but Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is expressing the idea that is We believe that God is the only reality, and that there's nothing else that exists but Him. Hashem Achad is the only reality. Because the world is merely an expression of Him. And the reality of the world, we spoke last week, like with the story of the stone being thrown, it doesn't really have an existence on its own. Every second, God is imbuing it with existence. So what is really there, what's the really the only reality is God. So here's the thing. The animal in man is excited. It wants stuff. Whatever stuff it can grab. It wants everything for itself. The problem is it sees things in their most external manifestation. It sees things as being things, instead of seeing things as being expressions of God. If it can only realize and understand and appreciate and feel and sense that the reality of everything, what's truly the real existence of everything is God, then it will see that creation is only appeal. It's only a cover. You know, a person who has known any better might be drawn very strongly to appeal, to the orange peel, not realizing that there's a fruit inside. And he thinks all there is a peel. And he's eating peels. A person realizes there's only a peel. There's really a fruit in there. You don't eat the outside. You have to take the inside. There's something deeper there. That's what we mean through the meditation of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that creation is only a peel covering up on the true existence, which is God, so that even the animal can slowly but surely strip, or by stripping away the outer layers of the world, one can be, and exposing the truth that lays beneath it, then even the animal in man will start craving for that reality. Because the animal, an animal wants existence. It wants to live, it wants to be. And when it can recognize that true existence is God, so that will become the focus of its passion. So that comes through the meditation of Shema. However, but it's not only through Shema, one has to take it a step further. So, and this is, again, as we said before, this is a deep contemplation. This doesn't happen one time. You have to contemplate and think. And here's a very important thing. When you contemplate in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, you have to understand the idea that God's unity in a very tangible way. It's true your soul believes in this truth. Your neshama, your godly soul, knows this truth because it knows it's in its inner being. It knew it. It saw this truth when it was in heaven, that there's none but God. So therefore, it's very easy for the neshama to comprehend this, to feel this, for the soul to comprehend. The problem is we want to transmit that information into the very human part of ourselves, into the very rather animal part of ourselves. Therefore, the contemplation and the meditation has to be very thorough, and it has to be very vivid, it has to be very extremely tangible. You can't meditate in extremely abstract things. Even though your soul can get excited about abstract thoughts, but if it's too abstract, then the regular you, your animal self, it goes over its head. It doesn't relate to it. It has to be, you have to draw it down, you have to give yourself examples, physical examples, to understand it in a very down-to-earth manner, so that even the animal in the human being begins to understand the truth. It's coarser, it takes a while. In general, Chassidus discusses it many times, that there are times when a person meditates, you can, let's say, study various different, sometimes we have a Thursday night class that's extremely abstract. And you walk out of here, you understand it, but you only stand it like on some level. There's some part of you, you feel like it's somewhere here. And like, it's not you didn't get it, but this upper part of you got it, and your neshama understood it. But it's lacking in its concreteness. There's a different type of a meditation. There's a meditation that relates also to your very human mind. And that's why Chassidus emphasizes, the Chassidic masters and teachers try to bring it down to ways, find examples from human life and so on and so forth, where it becomes applicable, where you can see it in a very, almost in a very physical way. So that it becomes real to the point in the realm of the animal that it begins to sense it. It doesn't remain philosophy. It becomes something very real to it. Particularly value. Day there, and that's why, what follows after Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, one of the next verse, right after the Shema Yisrael, is V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, you will love God, your God, with all your heart. Now the way the verse expresses all your heart, it doesn't say b'chol lipcha, it says b'chol levavecha, with all your hearts, two bays. So the sages learn out of here, b'shnei yitzarecha, with both your inclinations. Which means not only do you have to choose to listen to your Yetzer Tov, but you have to make that your very Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, should also love God. How do you accomplish that the evil inclination, which in a broader sense means the animal soul, How does that begin to love God? Through the verse before that. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. When one realizes that the only thing that there is to love is God, because He's the only reality, He's the only true thing, then even the animal will turn to loving God. Ah, to levavecha, with both your hearts. V'shnei yitzarecha, with both your inclinations. So even the animal will be inspired to love God through the meditation of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is the only reality. Lipcha means one heart. Livavecha. Livavcha. It says two bases, referring to both hearts. Ach koidim kriya Shema. However, we know that before the Shema, there is these verses in prayer that are called Birchas Kriya Shema. They're called the blessings of the Shema. Tiknu Chachamim, the sages instituted Shtayim Lefaneh, two verses go before it, Lekiyam HaKriya Shema. In order to be... Now, they're called the blessings of the Shema, and we have these beginning in the Yotzer Or. God created light, the Baruch Hoshech, He created dark, He formed light, created darkness. So the question, and they're like part of the Shema. Now, the question is asked many places, like, what's the connection of these things to the Shema? Shema is the statement forever, and those blessings, in what sense are they related to the Shema? In what way? So, as the Alter Rebbe explains over here, the connection of these verses, of these blessings have to the Shema, is because that they enable the person to be able to come to what a Shema needs to accomplish. The reciting of the Shema needs to accomplish that a person should transform even the animal soul, that it should love God. In order for that to happen, it's not just enough to meditate on God's unity, but one first has to meditate on something else. And that is that what is the subject matter that is discussed in the blessings preceding the Shema? It speaks about the angels. We speak about all the malachim, or as I said before, Ifanim b'chayi sakoydish b'rash gadol. We speak about kulam misharsav, yotzer misharsav, God creates His servants. Kulam omde berum olam, they all stand in the exalted places, and they transmit one to another with love, with fear, and they all scream kaddish, kaddish, kaddish. Why are we talking about these angels? What's the point of such elaboration of the way the angels serve God? Because here's the thing. In order to inspire the animal in man, since the root of the animal comes from those angels, by speaking about, by focusing, by dwelling on the fact that even the animal, that the source of the animal soul in man, which stems from these heavenly beasts, and what is the content of the passion of those angelic beasts, of the angels above, their passion is to God, so that will serve as an empowerment to take the animal within man, which is really a lower manifestation of those angels, and to lift it back up to its source, that it too will direct its passion towards God. In other words, in order to fix something properly, you have to get to the root of the matter. You have to get to its inner core. So to fix the animal, the way to fix it is by getting the animal excited about its own very source. You have to tell the animal, man, look, recognize your very source, where you come from. The source of all your cravings, of all your desires, is to God. And even if you don't think about it, you don't make the calculation that this is your source, the mere fact that you're speaking about the angels serving God with awe and with passion and with love inspires the animal. Because this is where, that's its root. That's its home. That's where it's home based. That's where it comes from. Because ultimately, it's impossible to subjugate and to conquer the spirit of the animal under the dominion of the godly soul. We have to evoke the root of the animal soul itself. Because the source of where the animal soul has been excavated, it stems from the holy beasts, Shever Markava, that are in the chariot. Pnei Aryeh, the face of the lion. Pnei Shor, the face of the ox. And therefore, by speaking about how they serve God with great love, and this itself will inspire the animal. And he says an interesting statement. Ki ein hadinim nimtaken ela b'sharsha, because judgments cannot fully be sweetened only by evoking their source. That's a Kabbalistic concept. judgments, meaning all kinds of if there are, God forbid, judgments, what's the right word, accusations and all kinds of things, or harsh decrees that are being extended towards the world, towards the Jewish people or the world at large, to fix it, to sweeten the judgment, you have to get to the source of it all, the root. Because we know that in the root there's only good, there's only holiness. It's only in the, as it comes down, it becomes sometimes, as it's perceived by us, it seems to take on a negative thing. And we have to connect everything. That's why we know that, how did Nachum Ish Gamzu, the famous one who always would say about everything bad, he would say, Gamzu L'Tov. What was the point of Gamzu L'Tov? Was he was able to connect every problem, everything that seemed to be negative and bad, to its divine source. And from God, only good comes out. And when, if you connect it back to its source, then it will translate into revealed goodness down here below. You can only get to the inner part. If that is said about judgment, that is also said about our animal soul. Because the fact that our animal can be an animal, can be oblivious to God, can ignore God, comes from the idea of din, of judgment. Judgment doesn't only mean judgment. Judgment also comes from the dinim, from the left side, from the side of judgment, comes all concealment, that God is, God's face is concealed. The fact that our animal soul can be such an animal is because God, because of the judgments, because God is concealed, and there's concealment to concealment to concealment to concealment. In order to sweeten the animal, meaning the animal which is a result of all these concealments, that's why we can forget about God, because of all the concealments. The way you can sweeten the animal, meaning elevate the animal, purify the animal, is to connect it back to its source. In its source, it isn't bad. In its source, it's holy. Another way of understanding this is something like this. It's a very important thing. When we speak about the reason why I mentioned before that the angels are called animals. Why are they called animals? The nature of an animal, as opposed to the difference between the primary difference between human nature and animal nature, is that human being emotions are directed by the mind. The mind, you understand, you appreciate things, and that's how you develop emotionally. All your emotions should be, especially a human being who deserves the title human, acts based on his mind. So the mind is the stimulator of the emotion. Animals work on natural instinct. All their emotions are instinctive. There's no meditation that it meditates upon something, appreciates the value of something, and begins to develop a feeling towards it. Animals are instinctive. They love, all their passions are instinctive love. All their fears are instinctive fears. Angels are the same way. Angels in heaven, they don't need meditation to create love of God. They don't need understanding. It happens automatically. They have a reservoir of love in their hearts, in their being. And therefore, their love pours naturally. They're in a constant state of their emotions are fully expressed continuously, effortlessly. The emotions are there naturally towards God. Why is that? Because the emotions, as we said before, are seeking what is pleasurable, what is delightful. God is the ultimate of delight. He's the ultimate of pleasure. So therefore, they're drawn, they gravitate towards Him. They're drawn. However, when that very same soul, that very same being, that very same angel comes down in our world, where God's light is concealed, where pleasure and delight takes on a different form, so then naturally you have the same, in other words, inherently the passion of the soul, of even of the animal soul, isn't bad. It doesn't in its very inner core desire sin, sinfulness. It desires, its root of it is, give me what's good, what is delightful. That very same, when it's in a divine arena, when it's surrounded with godliness, so it's drawn towards godliness. If it comes into a world where God is shrouded and hidden, and other things become very real, so naturally it will be stimulated, it will be drawn towards these things. To elevate it means to bring it back into that higher arena, into that higher place, by meditating on the source of where the animal comes from, where the love is directed towards God. That will help in purifying and bringing the animal back to that holy love.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Practically
That's the whole point of what we're going to learn in the Maamar. So let's let it. The Hine, if we still have the question afterwards, so then the Hine al yedei zeh, and through this nasa aliyah gam lenefesh alikis. Now this is what man has to do in this world. Man has to do in this world accomplishes the purification and the elevation of the animal in man. If a person can live his whole life and maybe even do good things, but they never engage their animal soul in trying to elevate it or purify it, then much of what their mission is in this world has not been accomplished. So vehine, but through this, what now he's going to speak a little bit of what is the result? What is the consequence of this work? Vehine, al yedezeh, through this thing, nasa ali, agam lenefesh alikis. This causes an elevation also in the godly soul. Even though the godly soul did not come down here for its own sake, it came down in order to elevate the animal. Nevertheless, by elevating the animal, it too is elevated to a higher place. Al derech, just like we see when it says va'achaya isnoisas esakise. In heaven, we learned to be Yecheskel. What did he see? He saw the heavenly beast, the four animals. Then he saw the throne, and on top of it was God. The verse continues that the animals, the angelic beasts, they were carrying God, which means that the image of man that was above the throne was being lifted up to higher by what? By the angels. If that is true in above there, it's also true down here. Our soul is derived from the image of God that's above the throne. From the as we said earlier, from God that's above. Then there is the animal that is below. What elevates the soul, just like above, the animals elevate the image of man that's above the throne, so too our godly soul reaches the ultimate heights precisely through it elevating the animal. In other words, God compensates, because it works like this. Even though being involved with this animal takes a tremendous toll on the neshama, it's very difficult for it. It has to wrestle with this beast, and it's very uncomfortable. Instead of the soul being able to sit and enjoying divine bliss that it had in the upper realms, and has to come down in this thick, coarse body with all these horrible cravings and desires, has to deal with this. So we say, don't worry, because it's precisely through the purification and the elevation of the animal and man which will ultimately elevate and bring the neshama to a higher place, just like it is above. Now, once through this process of elevating the animal in man, which is called raising of the feminine waters, viserusa delatata, and the arousal from below, nimshach viserusa delayelo, this draws down an arousal from above, which means that this whole process of taking the animal in man, the unholy in man, drawing it, picking it up, that it should be closer to God, it should stop with its obsession with physicality and turn its attention towards God. This is called lifting something up from the darkness. You're picking up things, a spirit. In God's world, there is this spirit that has lost touch with reality. Think about it. That animal soul in you is a spirit that has gone astray. It has suddenly entered into this dark space. It's completely mixed up. It's completely confused. It's living in a total distortion. It doesn't see anything. God sends the neshama down to chase that dark spirit and bring it back, to elevate it, to purify it. When it does that, it's called lifting up feminine waters. It's lifting up something from low towards God. Our relationship with God, from us to God, is like a man and a woman. We're the woman, in terms of we being the receiver. God is the bestower, the giver, the transmitter. It's called Mashpia. He is the giver. He's called the man. In our relationship with Him, there is us rising up to Him, us purifying something of our own and connecting it to God. And as a result of that, that will trigger a response for God to transmit a greater degree of holiness downward. So till now we were speaking about the human being wrestling with his unholy side and trying to bring a little holiness in his life, trying to get that his heart to budge, trying to get the heart to move towards a more refined state of being. So you're picking it up. But as a result of that, it's not only, so that's our effort. That's our efforts from below. This causes a showering of the of divinity from above, which means God will now pour down, transmit a tremendous godly light, and that will enlighten the soul with such godliness that the soul would have never had had it not dealt with the animal. That's the point. It's through picking up the darkness from below and rising it upwards, this stimulates revelation. Revelation from above. Your neshama experiences godly revelation. That which you could... Vezeru inyin. And this is the idea. And now this idea of lifting up something from below is also the idea of a sacrifice, of a korban. Because this is exactly the whole point of sacrifice. They took an animal from below and they brought it up onto the altar. They included it in a heavenly fire. Which means that there was a fire on the altar. That fire was a heavenly, godly fire. And you take an animal and it becomes consumed in that fire. In our own service, it means to get the animal within us, put it into the fire of our soul, and get it too to be excited about God, to get fiery about holiness. What happens as a result of a sacrifice? It says this week in the parasha, it says, "Vezehu she'inyan she'nemar b'karbanos," and this is the idea of what it says by sacrifices. Reach nichayach laHashem, a pleasant smell to God, a pleasant fragrance to God, which means when we offer a sacrifice, it says the sacrifice was so pleasant. So what is it? God, the barbecue smelling, the smell of the burning kishkis on the or whatever the fats that were being burnt and the organs and the limbs. What was so pleasing to say that God loved it so much, and we find so much of the Torah that repeats talks about the elevated. So we're dealing. So it's not, of course, the physical smell. It's a spiritual, the light that God gets when darkness gets transformed into light. So that's the pleasant smell. So we say God delights in that. It creates a sensation in God. God is smiling, He enjoys it. When He enjoys that, He turns His attention to the creation. He turns the attention to the person who gave Him that delight and reveals Himself to that human being, transmits a tremendous godly light into the soul of that person. There is a yichud, there is a unity. That's called reach nichoach. Nichoach comes from the word descending. So the smell, the fragrance, the aroma, that's an ascent. We're picking something up from us to Him. That causes a reciprocation of divine light descending towards us. There's a rising from below, and that's what we said before. The rising from below is called feminine waters. Hisarusa de latata, the arousal from below. And this stimulates masculine waters, which means the transmission from below, which means a person experiences divinity much more than they're able to comprehend in their human mind. Literally like a prophecy. Something takes place within the soul. God transmits. You might suddenly experience in the middle of prayer such an intense light, you don't know what it is. That's as a result of the person seeking God. We looked at it a few weeks ago also, the Machtas HaShekel. You give your half, and then God comes to meet you halfway. He transmits that divinity from above. Now, this is the level, this type of, this correspondence, this interaction, where we first reach out to God, and then God will transmit from above. This is the idea of this that we say, that from an arousal below comes an arousal, comes a transmission from above. Ah, however, there is also a sarusa de leila, which is a arousal from above. This is the way it's supposed to be. The way God would like it to be is that we first should initiate. We have to first work. And this is very, very hard labor, as we said before. A lot of toil, a lot of effort, a lot of thinking, a lot of meditation to change one's perspective. To change one's sense of reality. That's the point. That's amazing. It's back-breaking labor. It's very difficult work. We do this work, so this will God... But then there are times when God sees that that the soul descended into the body, and instead of the soul elevating the body or elevating the animal soul has completely gotten control of the soul and is dragging it down. And the person is completely oblivious even to the fact that he has a neshama, that he has a soul. There's no spirituality going on at all in the person's life. So then, from certain times, what God does is that He will illuminate and transmit and download godliness to the soul. He will send the soul an email, even if the neshama did not, even if the soul did not do anything on its part to prepare itself. And that is the reason why, at certain times, people get inspired. And they have no idea where the inspiration came from. Out of nowhere, it hits them out of belt, they suddenly feel something within them. It can come in many forms. It can come in a form of a dream. It can come in a form of an inspiration just out of nowhere, where suddenly you just feel something. Something within you is seeking, searching, and you don't know what it is. And each and every one of us has these experiences from time to time. The Baal Shem Tov says that every single day there are certain, it says in the Gemara, there are certain batkol. There is these announcements that are made. And they call out, woes to the person who doesn't study Torah. All kinds of other things. So the Baal Shem Tov says, what's the point if no one hears these things? What's the point? I guess the ones who are supposed to hear it are not tzaddikim because they're doing what they need to do anyways. It's the regular people that need to hear it. If God says, Shuvu banim shivavim, my children that have gone astray, come back to me. If no one hears it, so what's the... So the Baal Shem Tov says, during the day, there is this moment that you get a little tickle that gives you from above. And you don't know where it came from. Sometimes it's so subtle that you don't even notice it. It happens so quick that you didn't even pay attention to it. But something takes place every day. Every day is a moment. But in our lives, there are times when it comes in a way where it's not just a tickle for one moment. Sometimes it comes in a very powerful way. That we feel it for a while, but then the Alter Rebbe says there's something about it is that it disappears. We get it for a while, we're suddenly moved, we suddenly feel the spiritual energy in us, and it can carry for quite a while. Sometimes an hour, sometimes a day, sometimes a week, sometimes a month, sometimes 6 months. But then ultimately it will go away. And the Alter Rebbe is going to explain because all that stimuli is because sometimes God gives you He transmits something to you in order to jumpstart, a wake-up call, in order to get you going. But then, here is the whole point of the Maamar is, that when you're lucky enough to get one of those wake-up calls, God doesn't always do it. That's not the way it was meant to be. When God created the world, God wants us to toil, and He wants His relationship to us should come from our efforts. As a result of us, He will reciprocate. He will reciprocate far greater than what we've done. But He first wants the initial step should come from us. But when He sees that we're asleep and we're completely, I've forgotten who we are and what we are and what we're doing in this world, He will send a wake-up call. So the Alter Rebbe says, when you're lucky and you experience a wake-up call, don't be satisfied with that inspiration and enjoy it for the time being. Use it to jumpstart your engine. Start getting involved in doing your own work. Because if you're not going to go do your own work, it's going to leave as fast as it came. And then it's going to be as if you never had it. And you're going to sink back into your... And this is so common. Each and every one of us knows this. That when it comes holidays, the high holidays, and it comes certain times, and suddenly we're inspired and we're excited, and then the next day it's gone. And it's as if it never happened. It's like the seven cows. It says when the thin cows ate the seven cows, the thick cows, the fat cows, it wasn't even noticeable that they ever had a meal. They were just as... So sometimes we look at ourselves and we don't know all the inspiration and all that is there as if it's gone and we're just as earthy and coarse as we were before. And that's the secret of this whole Maamar, about how to work with these moments, bursts of energy that we're lucky when it comes. So let's read.
These bursts of energy, this communication, this wake-up call,
yeah.
Are we going to learn that there's like another intermediary here? Is there a personal mala that is communicating?
I want to learn, stick to the Maamar, and I get inside questions. We'll at the end I'm going to stay today, so we'll take the questions. All right? Let's let the Maamar flow. Ach yesh gam even though we learned before that the spiritual God transmits after we reach out to Him, but sometimes there is arousal from above, hanimshach la'oyer esrusad latat, that is drawn to us in order to awake the arousal from below. Tahainu la'oyer esa adam, to awaken the person, la'akitza mishnasoy, to awake him from his slumber, bahavli olam, in the silliness and the foolishness of the world. The kamoy. Now, if this is not the way it's meant to be, why does it happen sometimes that God will initiate, that He will give us a little tug? It's because that's the way the creation also worked. When God created the world, the whole interest in the creation was really, no. In creation it works like this: that what keeps God invested in creation, what keeps God interested in the world, it's Torah and mitzvahs. Bereshit, Rashi says, why did God create the world? For the sake of the Jews and for the sake of Torah. So God created the world for... We have to, it says God placed Adam Arishon in Gan Eden, La'avdal Shamra, to serve and to guard the, and the sages say, what does it mean to serve and to guard? To work the garden and to guard it. But the sages say to work it by doing the positive commandments, and to guard it by doing, by refraining from the negative commandments. Why, what was the point of placing Adam Arishon in Gan Eden to do that work? Because what keeps God interested in creation is our service. Our Torah and mitzvahs that he give him pleasure, that's what keep him going. The problem, the question is, however, what initiated, what sparked creation in the beginning before there was man to stimulate? Because before creation there was no one there to create, to stimulate. It says in the verse, the Adam Ayin, there was no man yet to work the soil. So what happened at that point when there was no man? How did God initially create the world if all divine stimuli and if all divine transmission is dependent on the arousal from below? The answer is, at the onset of creation, God created the world out of chesed. Chesed means you're giving kindness without anybody stimulating. No one deserves. That's what kindness means. Kindness means I'm transmitting out of my own volition, out of my own desire of kindness. So the creation is oylam chesed yibane. The creation began on chesed. Meaning the initial approach, the initial interaction between God and the world was one of kindness. The world didn't deserve to be created, and God created it anyways. But once he created it, all life flow, all energy transmitted to the world is dependent on our work. To the degree that we reach out to him, to that degree he bestows life into the creation. But since the way it worked in the onset is that God did first initiate, first there was an arousal of from above, and then later, Adam Arishon started working, right? He started doing his service. The same as in each and every one of our lives. God also starts. He's the initiator. For man to do anything, it must first begin with God. God gives us the jump start. As he says, the kamoisha b'tchilas b'riyas ha'olam, just like in the beginning when God created the world. Ho yaham shacha b'cheset chinom, the flow of energy came with utterly free kindness. Ki chafitz chesed hu, because God desires kindness. And only afterwards, then it depends on our work. As it says, God placed him in Gan Eden. To work, to toil and to guard it. And you have to do the mitzvahs in order to keep God, to keep the light, the energy flowing to the creation. Nevertheless, even though there needs to be an arousal from below, then nevertheless, Nimshach Serusa Dalayla, God still gives that first boost, that first La'oire to arouse the Serusa Dalatat, to arouse us to start working. It says another memorandum, but the Ramaskal Vasisa Big De Kodesh, the Ayim Ashakasa Slave the Ramaskal Veshan and Alavayim, Slave the Ramaskal Vayashkin Lovan, the Slave the Ramaskal Ani Yashena Bin Shereshin Imlito. The Yuvan there, now the Alter Rebbe is going to focus amazingly on the difference between these two divine transmissions. The transmission, the energy that the illumination that comes prior to our work, coming from God as when God initiates, and the illumination that comes as a result of our toil and our efforts. He's going to explain the difference between the two. Basically, as I mentioned before, the difference is one thing. If it's coming from God, it can be extremely powerful. A person can get very excited. Person can feel a deep love for God, a deep attachment, a deep intimacy with God, but it's not going to have permanence if it comes from God. If it comes from our work, if you initiate and you begin in an uninspired mood, you don't feel anything, you know, and you say to yourself, I'm going to inspire myself. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to study. I'm going to learn. Then I'm going to meditate. Then I'm going to crush my ego. And I'm going to do things that I don't want to do. Even though I don't want to do that, I'm going to do a mitzvah that I'm not interested in doing. I'm going to help a person when I'm not in the mood, when I'd rather sit and indulge in my own physical indulgences. Nevertheless, I'm going to take from my time to give to someone else, even though I don't like it. The breaking of one's ego when you're not inspired, that's called working from below. It's that work that makes you into a vessel, that opens you up, and then when God will respond, it's going to be permanent, it's going to last, it's going to register, it's going to become part of you. So let's read inside. And therefore, he's going to say, even when we receive the excitement from above, if we're smart, we start working right away, and we start doing something. Let's see it inside. And here we get very practical. We see this in the serving of God. We see, there's two levels in service. Ha'echad, one of them is the chinasa serusa d'leyela. One of them is an arousal of Ha'echad b'chinasa serusa d'letata. One way of getting close to God is through the arousal of below, meaning coming from the person. The yegiyas ha'nefesh, with the toil of the soul. The yegiyas basar, and the toil of the body. What does it mean? The toil of the soul and the toil of the flesh. So the commentators explain this as follows. Toil of the soul means deep meditation. You have to really, and it's hard to meditate, it's hard to think, especially in today's society when people don't think about, people don't have patience to think to think about anything even for more than 5 seconds. So to be able to sit and meditate on one thought for a lengthy period of time, takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of determination. So that's, it's exhausting. So it has to be exhausting yegiyas nefesh. The second thing is yegiyas basar, it's the toil of the body, which explained in other places means, in order to, you can meditate from today till tomorrow on spiritual issues. If you're thick and coarse, and you feel pride, and you feel so good about yourself, and you're full of yourself, then it's like a thick log that won't catch on fire. You can have a burning fire, you throw a log in, but the log is very thick and just doesn't catch on. So the Zohar says, what happens when a heart doesn't respond to the all the meditation, you're thinking the right things and you just, the heart doesn't budge. The Zohar says it's because it's too thick. You've got to splinter it, you've got to break it. And that means that a person has to take himself to task. You have to think a lot about all your failures and all the things you've done that are not to be proud of. And when you think about these things, the heart gets broken. And when the heart gets broken, you get a broken heart, a sense of humility that breaks the heart. And when it breaks the heart, so there has to be a while. That's why it's recommended in all Hasidic discourses that there is a time before davening that a person has to do tshuva. A person has to look at the past day, has to see all the shortcomings and all the things where I didn't do so, where I didn't perform so good. So then you get broken in yourself, and that brokenness prepares you. That's why, in order for plants to grow, the soil has to be soft. If it's thick and clustered, it doesn't work. So you have to break it. So you have to break the heart and break it into little pieces. A bitter heart, a broken heart, is that itself won't do it yet. And then if you will meditate and you will think at length about godly things, then you're going to create inspiration from within yourself. When you create inspiration from within yourself, Hashem will illuminate from above, and it's going to be incredible. The fusion of these two energies, the energy from below and the energy of above. That is both participating. That's like a marriage, a unity that's taking place from the husband and the wife, both of them coming together, both of them putting in the effort. Yegiyas ha-nefesh v'yegiyas basar. Ba'amakas ha-das, in deepening one's knowledge, v'zboininus, in contemplation, and then the lave nishbar, and then one also needs to create a broken heart. Through this, it will take hold in one's soul, the revelation of light, the closeness of God. Meaning God will respond, this is what we mean, from the arousal of below, there's an arousal of above. And this is a unity, this is an intimacy of a Jew and God. The soul and God have come together at this moment. Madrega habeis, however, the second level is, Haina, we find, Shalapa'amim yachaliyoy, sespilus benefesh. Sometimes we can find the soul gets aroused, excited. Shaloy ayadeyachana v'yagia klal, it didn't appear, he didn't break his heart, he didn't put in any effort. Kamesha anuroyim, we see, Shayesh harba anashim, there are many people, Shemes oyrim pisay. Suddenly they receive this, they get this excitement. V'yislav libam amoycham betfilah. Suddenly, out of nowhere, their hearts and their minds get excited, get inflamed by prayer. Meshech zman ma, for a certain time. Beli noida lahem asiba. They don't even know what the cause of this. Suddenly, the prayer is so deep, it's so profound, it's so meaningful. Me'ayin bola eleya. They don't know where it comes to them. Just oyer rezois, where this arousal comes. But however, now, in other memorim, it says, usually this takes place on auspicious times. When God will initiate, it's in a time when God is in a state of openness, when He's revealing. Particularly, it says, in the high holidays. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, God comes very close. As God approaches our souls, the soul is like a little flame. And when you take a big fire and you bring it next to a little flame, the flame jumps. It gravitates towards that fire. So the soul suddenly is pulled with this magnetic pull towards God. It's a, it says Pesach. Pesach coming up in 2 weeks is Pesach. Pesach is a time of incredible divine revelation. Nigla Aleihem, the first time when God took them out of Egypt, Nigla Aleihem Melech Malchei Amlochim, the King of all kings revealed himself. Ani Velo Malach, I am not an angel. God reveals himself to every Jew to take him out, to schlep him out from the trenches, to pick him up from that, from the mess that we've gotten ourselves into. So that happens, and Pesach, especially the first day Pesach, is an incredible time for illumination. Sad that we're all wiped out by that time. But it is a time of incredible revelation from above. And sometimes you feel it. Sometimes if you pray on the first day Pesach, you can feel a tremendous exalted state, a feeling of closeness to God that you can never feel the rest of the year. You just don't have it within you. But the problem is, as he said, ba'ma'adzman, and in a short time, yichla koyach esayir ezois, the power of this arousal will dissipate, will disappear. V'hainu, and the reason is, why does it? So here's the thing. We could excuse it. A lot of times, what happens to many people is, this can become so frustrating, because each and every one of us has experienced this, and this becomes the ultimate thing of our frustration. We wonder, what happened? Why? What happened with all that light? What happened with all that thing? And then we begin to think that all of our spirituality is fake. It's all an illusion. It's all just a figment of our imagination. We thought we were holier. We thought we were godlier, but it wasn't true. It wasn't real. We begin to think that way. Because if it would be real, so why don't I have it today? The Alter Rebbe says, no, it's not fake. It's true. It's real. You were really inspired. Because there was godliness, there was a divine energy suddenly translating or being transmitted into your soul. So your heart was excited because there was something godly happening within you. It really is an arousal from above. However, it's an arousal from above. It's in order to get you to start working. And the difference. What is the difference if it comes from above or if it comes from you? Between what is the difference between if the arousal comes from below that causes the response from above? As we said earlier, when it comes through your toil and your effort. Or rather the arousal from below, meaning our excitement that comes only as a result of God stimulating, but it didn't come from our own efforts. Kasha. Yes, it's a rusadulatata. When there is an arousal from below, meaning if you prepared yourself, mamash, if there literally is work on your part, through one toiling on his soul, then it's something that can last. Why? Because God is coming and he's planting a seed. You prepared the soil. You softened it. You turned yourself into a vessel. You opened your heart up. You prepared it. So now the divine life can take root, take hold. Because through the arousal of below, this is what caused the arousal from above. And this is what is illuminating and revealing itself in your soul. The pchinis pnimius, it becomes internalized, it becomes part of you. Kivan sheheichem liba lezet chila. Since you prepared your heart for this in the beginning. And l'cheina, therefore, are you days that yitru koyach v'oiz benashoi, this is going to give power and strength in one's soul. Liyas oidus erusat l'tata. Here's the thing. When you receive the godly transmission from above, as a response to your work, this will empower the person now. It takes hold because you prepared yourself. It's the fruits of your labor. So now this will empower you, boost you, give you the energy to get even a deeper preparing, to work even harder. Because the more we get from above, the more strength we get. Deeper strength, now you can toil and labor even in a deeper level. To refine yourself, because there's no end to how much you can refine yourself. It's not like, okay, I'm enlightened already, and now I can go to sleep. It doesn't work like this. God is endless. The refinement of the animal, of the ego, goes through stages and stages and higher, higher of purifications of purification. This, when God responds, this gives you the energy and the power. This imbues you with the power to be able to get back into it and prepare yourself even more. So that will in turn cause a greater illumination from above. And through this, a person can accelerate or escalate higher and higher and higher to higher levels of spirituality, and this goes on endlessly. But each level that you attain becomes part of you. And you don't have to worry about falling back, because it has become part of you. However, when there isn't the toil of the soul, the yigiyas batal, and there isn't the toil of the flesh, mumata from below, but the only excitement came from the arousal from above. The Lord hastened me, but one didn't prepare his heart to arouse one's own soul on his own. So then the excitement is going to pass, the aim will keep him, and it doesn't have any lasting power. It's not going to remain. Because when this great illumination from above is going to leave, she'ena, now here's the thing, this great illumination that God illuminates into the darkness is not the purpose of creation. God did not create a dark world that he should light it up. For that point, you never have to create a dark world. He created a dark world that we should light up the dark world, not that he should do it. Therefore, it's true that from time to time he allows a little bit of his light to crack through the cracks, to break through all the concealments and the veils. God peeks through. It says in the Yomtiv, it says there's a time that Mashgiach min ha'chaloyna, God looks through the windows, makes it min ha'charak, and he peeks through the cracks. There are times that his light filters through and gets down to us and assumes. But this is only at a time of goodwill, when God is, as I said earlier, the Eitz Ratzon. There will be an end to that Eitz Ratzon. Since there is an end to that Eitz Ratzon, to that openness of God, being that you're only riding the divine wave, you're surfing on that wave. You don't have any of your own energy. You didn't do anything. So as soon as the wave will subside, you're down. You're struggling in the water, something there. Because there isn't, you didn't create anything of your own. It didn't become part of you. As he said, that's it. Then it's as if it never was there, his spine. But the famous thing, you can either give someone a fish, or you can teach them how to fish. So that's the point. God can stand there and transmit to us, but God wants us that we should do it on our own. Elachem, and therefore, bistalika oir, when the light leaves, betela hava. So the love disappears. Because the love was a direct, we were recipients of this love. As God was kissing the soul for a moment. So as long as that was taking place, it was exciting. It left, it went away. Shenestafni menu, now it left. The Zel Indian, and this is the idea of Ish Mazriyat Chila Yaledes Nekeva. If a man is the one who is Mazriyat Chila Yaledes Nekeva. Okay, in the fusion of man and woman, in order to create a child, so there is the transmission of the man, the transmission of the woman. So it says like this. If the transmission of the man takes place first, then the child that will be born will be a girl. If the woman is the one that produces first, so then the child that will be born will be a boy. Coming from the woman, it will be a boy. Coming from the man, it will be a girl. What is the deeper significance of in both cases there is a interaction of both. The question is who initiated? What came first? In our relationship with God, God is a man, and we're the woman. Okay? Now, we want to create a child. The child that is going to be created, our efforts and God's efforts, if you could say, or God's input. Together, we're going to create a holy experience. We're going to create a love. The love is called the children. The inspiration that is created as a result of us trying to create inspiration and God transmitting the inspiration from above, it's going to create a child, the inspiration. Now, what kind of inspiration is that going to be? The difference between a boy and a girl is that a boy, the Gemara says like this, that there are certain talents that women have and there are certain talents that men have. The talent that a man has over a woman is that a man has a stronger perseverance, or a stronger, would you rather say, when he makes a decision, it's harder to be persuaded. This is the way it is, you can't change the mind. There is a certain, the ability to determine things, to decide things. A woman can decide, and then you can change your mind, easily persuaded to move into other things. The man has that ability of das. Women are stronger in bina, of understanding and seeing all the details of things. Men are stronger in das. So the woman to the Gemara says, women die from kalas. So to create a boy means a love of a boy means a love that is strong, firm, that is unwavering. It will remain what it is. To create a girl means to create a love that will last for a while, and then it will turn to loving other things. In order to create a boy, a firm love, what has to happen is the woman has to transmit first. It has to come from us. If it comes from us first, and then God will transmit, and after that, then it creates a firm love, a continuous, permanent love. If the initiation comes from us, from God, we're waiting for Him to stimulate our soul, and then we get excited, it will be, but it will only be for a while, and then the person will turn to other things. As he says over here, Zel Inyan Ishma Zriyat Chilo, the man, the Yoledis Mekeva. The verse says in the Parashas Tazriyah, Isha Ki Tazriyah, a woman that will, Tazriyah, I don't know the exact translation of the word, you know, Tazriyah, V'yolda Nekeva, V'yolda Zacha, she will give birth to a boy. If it's coming from the Isha, from the woman. The Nashim and the woman, Daitan Kalas, have a weak Das, meaning Das, the power of Das is weaker than by the man. The Tuchel is Patois Acharat Tfilah, easy to be persuaded after that. The Taivis Ha'olam, to the lusts of worldliness. Avalam Isham is Ra'at Tchila, but if it's coming from the woman. Liyois Ishma Zriyat Tchila. No, second. V'ayim HaShukazim is Zriyat Tchila, v'ayim Yisrael Neitzog Ava Basuch HaMachezakim. Zehu HaTziba, and this is... Out of fire, skip a line. Isham is Ra'at Tchila, liyois Pisarusa Dolitaka, Sarusa Doliela. But if the woman is the one who initiates, that it should be from the arousal of below, it should cause an arousal of above. Azai then Yoled Azach, then we have a boy. This is a strong, permanent das in Avodas Hashem. Ayin Masha Kotzum in your Ishma Zriyat Chilke. The Zelwat Tiba, and here's the Alter Rebbe, sums it all up. And this is the reason why. The Alter Rebbe had dealt with this every always. He said, many people come and complain to me. People who work are working and trying. The Alter Rebbe's Chassidim were known for the greatest. Those who really toiled and worked in trying to get close to God, to create a spirit, a connection to God. So these people, the Alter Rebbe says, many of them are complaining. The experience of spirit of purity, this utterance of Avodas Hashem, and arousal to the service of God, for many weeks, lucky for them, they had it for a few weeks at a time. And afterwards, it suddenly stops completely. The reason for that is because it came from above. Levat, you didn't prepare. If after the stop, the light stops. The person goes back to what you really are, the person's natural self, which is unrefined, and therefore the person is still stuck down here. See what we've wrote in the pasuk. This is called dreaming. In your dream, it's like nothing is strong in a dream. You can dream. You can be 1 minute over here, the other minute over there. There's no stability in the dream. To create stable emotions, there needs to be a person's own avodah. Zel, here the Alter Rebbe amazingly connects. Says this is the message of this verse. Now, it doesn't mean, let me explain. All this doesn't mean that we should say, okay, so when the arousal comes from above, we shouldn't even pay attention to it, because it's not. Because if we didn't start, then it's not going to last. No. Even when God, if you're lucky enough, that God will send you one of those wake-up calls, when God will tickle your soul and to get it excited, it doesn't mean that all that you get, you know, it's just a passing thing. The point is, and when that happens, what you need to do is, don't just float on that inspiration. Start to increase it from within your own. Use that energy that you got, that excitement, and now when you feel it's wearing off, or even not even wearing off, let's say you prayed, and you prayed, and you got excited, and you really enjoyed the prayer, and it was wonderful. You feel wonderful. The prayer was like so deep, and you got really into it. Good. But now, just 1 second, after the prayer is over, and now you're ready to go for lunch. And you say, wow, I feel sad, my spiritual self has been satisfied. Now I'm hungry. And now I'm going to eat lunch or breakfast or whatever it is. And now you're going to allow yourself to indulge in complete physical indulgence. The Rebbe says, stop for a moment and say to yourself like this. Now I got to do something what I don't want to do. I have to engage the animal soul in me. So what I need to do now is to restrain the animal. In other words, it wants to eat that extra piece of ox. I'm not going to do it, even though I want, because this is giving into my ego, giving into that self-centeredness. Or I learned, I'm excited, and I studied. And you study for, and the excitement and the learning is for an hour or two. But then after 2 hours, you're satisfied with it. So now you break yourself, and you stay, and you learn an extra half an hour. That part that you didn't want to learn, when you lost already the interest, you do that extra thing. Because there, that's coming from you. That's really your work. That's not the inspiration. This inspiration from above lasts and goes a certain distance. If you go the extra mile, the part that gets difficult and hard, that's when you're chipping in. So even though it's coming from God, simultaneously you're working. You're doing your own work. As you're doing your own work, you're preparing yourself, allowing it to seep in and become part of it. And that's the message of this verse. We said in the beginning of the verse, why doesn't it say, Adam mikem kiyakov karvan Hashem? A man from amongst you who will offer a karvan to God, will offer a sacrifice to God. It says, Adam kiyakov mikem karvan Hashem. A man who will offer from you, it seems to be wrong the way grammatically the verse should have said, Adam mikem, a man from amongst you will offer this. The Alter Rebbe says this verse is hinting to us this incredible thing. Adam is referring to the supernal man. That's God as he manifests himself towards the creation. God as he connects, as he relates to the world. He's an image of man. When the supernal man from above, Kiyakrin, when he wants to draw you close, Adam is not referring to the man below. Adam is the man, the quintessential man. The man above, God who is considered a man. Kiyakrin, when he is going to be close, Mikem of you. I mean, we're not dealing with offering an animal. Adam Kiyakrin Mikem, when God wants to draw close of you, he wants to draw you close. If it would say Adam Mikem Kiyakrin, if it would say a man from you who offers, then it would have to mean us. It couldn't mean God. So it says Adam, the man, and it only says one man, because we're referring to the one and only man. Adam, when that man, Kiyakrin, when he will draw close, Mikem from amongst you. Karvan Hashem, when he will draw you close. And this is key. Kiyakar means when it will happen. Because this we're not in charge of. This might happen, it might not happen. If it happens, we're lucky. Adam Kiyakar. If it will at some time happen, that you're lucky, that you experience a time in your life, that there is this godly benevolence and kindness being showered upon you, where God is waking, warming you up with godly light, bathing you in the divine light. When this happens, the verse is telling you, don't just sit there and enjoy and take a suntan in divine light, allowing it to, you know, just absorb that light. Don't just do that. What you do is right now, mina behema, mina bakar, mina toim, takrivu et karbanchem. From the animal, from the cattle, from the sheep, offer up your own sacrifice. Meaning, now make your sacrifice. You get close on your own. Start working from within yourself to bring up your sacrifice. To understand this a little better, the Alter Rebbe is also going to explain some other major, amazing thing, and that is like this. When God stimulates, when God shines light upon you, which part of you receives that light? Which part of you is a vessel, can experience the stimuli coming from above? Only that in you that is godly, the godly soul. Being that the godly soul is of God, it's only that it has been sent away and has gone distant, came down, got covered up by the body. When God illuminates a light, automatically this soul goes on fire. Doesn't take much to set the soul on fire. Why? Because this soul is like, the soul is a piece of God. So automatically it gets excited about God. However, here's the thing. The animal in man, that dark place, that lonely spirit, remains completely indifferent, uninspired, oblivious to the divine inspiration. So even if you get excited and you're fired up, you have to know one thing. It's not your regular you, it's your higher self, it's your better self that's excited. The animal self in you is an animal. It doesn't know of godliness, it's not interested, it doesn't join in that thing. So it's only half of you that's getting excited. This darker place, The only way to change the dark place in ourselves comes from our own neshama. Because our soul, as we said earlier, is enmeshed in the animal. So it can change it. It can work it out. God has absolutely no power, and I'm saying this on purpose because the Alphabet says, God has no power over our animal soul. He has taken away his power to influence it. Though even if he will send down a revelation from above, he created us in a way that our animal soul will not be affected by it. So there's a contradiction. It says that while we say that there's freedom of choice, have freedom to choose, and God gave us our choice, and God did not determine whether we'll be a topic or a rush. So it's our own, it's our business. We have to. But then in prayer, we only ask God. We constantly ask God, God, hachireinu b'tshuva shalema, return, make us do tshuva, draw us close to you, shine your light upon us, make us do. The question is, what's the point of what's the sense of asking God to help us do tshuva? How does it make sense to even say to Hashem, please help us do tshuva, if God, the answer is like this. Yes, it's true. There is something in man that will not change unless we will put in the work, and that is the animal in us. We ask, but why are we asking God, Hachireinu b'tshuva shalema, draw us close to you, get us connected? That is, yes, of course, there are times that God will jumpstart, then God will initiate. But that will only serve to awaken the godly soul in you. Now, once your godly soul has been fired up and you have inspiration, use that inspiration to influence that part of you that is uninspired. How? Meditating on godliness. Meditating until your human mind understands it. To the physical part of you understands it. That's not part of the inspiration. When you're feeling inspired and you're in love, you don't need the meditation. I don't need to meditate and think. I have the inspiration. My heart is kicking on its own. What's the point of the meditation? The Alphabet says, no. Sometimes it's even better to quiet down the excitement. Still it's so excited. It's wonderful. Your animal doesn't relate to it at all. And you know what's going to happen? The moment your soul, the inspiration from above goes away, the soul is going to, you know, lose that excitement. The animal soul is going to take over again. You're going to be just as, it's going to bark just as it has been barking the day before, and it's been no change at all. Therefore, you have to do your work so you can offer your own animal up. And that's what the verse is saying. Adam kiyakriz, when the man above is going to tug at you, so first of all, when it tugs, when it pulls, mikem of you it's going to pull. It's not going to pull the whole you. There's only a part of you. Adam kiyakriz, when the supernal man is going to draw you and stimulate your soul, it's going to be mikem, from you, a part of you. Your whole, the part of you that has anyway been holy, the part of you that doesn't need to be made holy, is only going to get fired up. That's nice, that's wonderful. But what should you do in order that it should last? Min ha-behema, from the animal in you. Now you have to go and take your animal by the horns. Min ha-behema, you have to go and engage your own animal soul. Min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, we're going to see soon what that means. From the cattle, from the sheep. Takrivu et karban chem, you offer your sacrifice. Remember we asked in the beginning of the Maamar, why in the beginning it's speaking in third person, and now it's speaking direct to you. In the beginning it says, when a man will offer, as if the man isn't here. In the end it says, you offer your sacrifice. What's the difference? It should have said, it's simple. The first half of the verse is not our doing. It's speaking about God. God who is not, who we can't see. God who is invisible to us. Adam, that man, he, I'm speaking in the singular, because it's God who is offering. Ki yakriv, when he is offering. Mikem, of you. Karban, he wants to get you close. Karban means kiruv, closeness. La havaya to Hashem. When God is drawing you close to him, so what do? Min habehema, from your own animal. Now it's your job to do your own work. Takrivu et karbanchem, you offer your sacrifice. And it says in many. Because each and every one of us has to do our own work. We have to offer our own sacrifice. So let's read it inside. Zehu Adam ki yakriv mikem, the man who will offer. Ki hine b'chinas Adam hu kamo yishakasav al demisach chisei demus kamare Adam. When it says man, it refers to above the throne, there was an image of man. Ki be'emes, because in truth, lav, we call him in midos il klal. God is not from any of this image. God, in essence, can't be called man. El shemes lav is be'eses sviris, but God encloses himself in the 10 attributes. V'nikra ramach evar in the mouth. And God, and it's called the 248 limbs of the king. Are the 204 responding to the 248 mitzvahs are called the image of God, because God enclosed itself in those mitzvahs in order to connect to us. Kedei leheir al yedei zel nishmas Yisrael, in order to radiate through those mitzvahs to our souls. V'chol ha'olam us into all the worlds. V'adai nikra kamara adar, and then God is called the image of man. V'zel inyan shir kaima, and this is that it says sometimes God speaks about the height of God, how God, tall God is. It's referring to these 10 attributes, which is the image of man. The Aymash Kaf the Ramatul Tenna read of Inyan Shir Kaima, Chesed Roy Yamina says God's right arm, but Gavura and Gavura Droy Yismol the left arm, the Aymash Kaf the Ramatul Matel Kalkenu, the Matel Elam Ashpatim, and Adam Adam and Elyon. He's bringing a few references to this idea, and I'm going to move Yachil Chesamah. Falzen Nemer, and this it says Adam Ki Yachiv, when man will offer Hainu, Ham Shachet the Serusa the Leyema, when there is an arousal of above, Mipchenas Adam Elyon from the supernal man. La'akrit leva adam shalamachal Hashem, to draw the man's leva adam, the heart of man below to God. Where do we find something like this? That the upper man will draw the lower man. There's a verse that says, Kimayim hafanin alpanin, kein leva adam ela adam. It says like the face you show in the water, just like the face reflects in the water. If you look in the water, you'll see the very same face reflecting backwards. So too the heart of man is to man. So what does that mean? The deeper meaning is, Adam is God's face. When God's heart is to us, we're supposed to give it our heart to Him. So God will show us that thing. Kein lev Adam ma'adam. V'ayim ashkaz abir ha-pazik achre Hashem l'kechat aleichu v'inim pidish. And remember, we learned this in one thing that we learned also by in Purim. We were learning that's the idea that God took the mountain and He held it over their head. The mountain represented that awesome love which God revealed to us, a love that we couldn't tell much exists. A mountain of love. So He made us love Him. He made us say Master the Mitzvah. Pishakaf Alem Har, He held the mountain of Lashu. I'm Shachat the Havarabba. He extended great love to us. Lomayah. Chayyad Deyz Ever Meir, when the Oyadu Gam came by Havarabba, they also were aroused with tremendous love to God. But then, this is the idea, Ki Yachad, He can, if He will offer, He will draw close. The Ayin Varabba is upon the Ashrei Titzker Sikar. But then, this is what it says, Ki Yachad, Mikem. First of all, Mikem Mamish. We're not dealing with what the person will offer exactly. He will offer when he will draw you, he can love you. God will draw the soul of man to God. And that's why it says the word mikem, and that's why it says mikem after the word kiyak. The loin omar adam mikem. It doesn't say a man of you. Kiyak kiyak. Because if it would say a man of you, it would be us. It doesn't want to say us. He's referring to God. Shem Kein Ayo Kirish, Jachim Shuta. Then it would only mean a simple meaning. Levat. Sha'adam Agash Mishalamata, Yachim. Then the lower physical man below should offer something to God. Abba B'Oimra Kiyachim Mikem. When it says, when he will offer from you, Bala Ram, it becomes the hint, El Inyan Amal for this idea. Elechei Nema, therefore it says, Kiyachim Lashin Yachim in the singular. The call of the this one man is called the one. The Hainu Kumar Bechina Tavidel. The Avikat Nemar, but afterwards it says, Min Abehima from the animal. Takrivu et Karban Chen, you should offer your sacrifice. Zeu Bechina Takarban Sha'odem Shalamata Yaakov. This is the sacrifice a man below has to offer. Elechei Nemar, and after the year it says, Takrivu, you guys should offer. After God told you, auspicious time. Asher nimshach mamayla, and from above is drawn down and aroused from above. God has drawn us to Him. Why do we have to run? He brought us close. What is the point? We will run after. Secondly, the first phrase of the first verse is Mashcheni, draw me. Achrecha Narutza means after you, we will run. Plural. What's the difference between the thing? First of all, so Mashcheni is singular because God is the one who's drawing, but it's also to draw me. Point is like this. When God draws, He's only drawing one soul. Because only one soul gets caught on fire from that inspiration. So it's Mashcheni, draw me. But when you're going to see God, when you draw me, we're going to start getting into it on our own. Achrecha Narutza, and this is passive. You draw us. This is not coming from us. Achrecha Narutza, after you, I will run, and we will run. Because I'm going to stimulate the animal to run too. We're going to get him excited, we're going to get him involved. Pinnacle. To Mashcheni, this is the way I look. When you will draw me with that arousal from above. Azai, Yan, Achrecha Narutza. After you, we will run. But if the person will not strengthen himself, to do his own work, to purify the animal soul, as I then, even though there is the arousal of above, to arouse the godly soul, they won't have any permanence and any continuation. But if immediately when the supernal man will draw from you a carbon, when there will be an arousal from above to arouse the arousal from below, as I take from a yad immediately, now you will begin to offer your sacrifice, min habehema from the animal, then it's going to be a lasting thing. We're going to skip the parentheses over here. But hine karban zeshe tekrivu ata min abehema. This verse that you are going to offer from the animal. Hine karban zeshe tekrivu ata. This offering that you're going to offer, hu min abehema. This is from the animal. Ma shenkin adam ki yakriv. When the man draws. Then it's only from you, it's only a part of you. As we said earlier, we all have two souls, and therefore it's only going to be part of us. When the arousal is of above, to arouse and to draw close the soul of man, this stimuli reaches only the godly soul. Why? Because it's of God. So the moment God appears, it's ecstatic, it's excited. The nikra ner havaya nishmas adam. It's called the candle of God is the soul of man. So the soul of man is automatically gets turned on by God. Shuhi b'chinas Adam, which is a man, nasa Adam b'tzalmenu. Let us make man in your image. It's like someone who was once exposed to fine music and beautiful melodies and the beauty of. So that person, even if he hasn't heard it for years and for a very long time, when he again hears that beautiful tune, that beautiful melody, it evokes and inspires his soul. But someone who never heard it and never was, and is only used to coarser type of music, and so on, it doesn't get to him. It doesn't appreciate it. The godly soul has a natural love to God, mitzat sharsha, as a result of its root, umakar chaitz, on the source of its excavation. The only problem is that in the course of life it can get covered up and goes to sleep. Zakshahu misteres, it can get concealed. Vitzarech lohitziyah, has to be drawn out, minahelim alagilim. It has to be drawn out from the concealed to the revealed. Alkein, therefore, al yedei hagilui v'serusa d'leyela, through the revelation and the arousal of above, teitzei ahavizu mehelim alagilim. It will automatically explode. It will come out from the concealed to the revealed. Liyaz batal Hashem, to be nullified to God, kener b'fnei avuka, like a little flame in front of a big torch. Aval ha-nefesh abaham is but the animal soul, shekvar yarda, which already descended from, even though it too comes from a place of fiery love to God. But it has metamorphosized to a point that it doesn't remember anything of what it was in the past. Shekvar yarda, already descended, the klula metovera, and it's mixed good and bad. Not only is it mixed good and bad, ruboy kekulei ra, mostly, to the point where it's almost all is bad. Meaning the animal soul is only a tiny little bit of potential of good. I mean, potential. But its potential is so hidden. So it's almost completely bad. And therefore it doesn't get inspired by the... it doesn't wake up to the divine melody. L'shayach bo'loi mekan, but it, you can't say it will get sparked. Elechein afim nimshach esarusa d'leyela, even if there will be an arousal from above, ein zeshaychas l'nefesh abahamas. This will not reach the animal soul, the aguf, and the body, because they remain just as this. It remains the same horse as it was before. Ki agam sheruach ha'adam hoy leil ha'mayla, because even though the spirit of man is always ascending upward, im kozeh he behema, she is still an animal. So yiredes lamata, and she's still going downward. Ella, and that's why we see how excited we are on a piece of cake after Yom Kippur. Even though a few minutes ago we were standing, we were crying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, we were ready to die a million times for God, and we really meant it with all our heart and soul, and suddenly, Ella, that point is, Shazaru Avoydus Adam Daf. This is man's work. Lavara Nafshe HaBahamas, to refine his animal soul. V'nikran, this is called Oved Elokim. This is called someone who is serving God, because it's your service. If you're only being a recipient, you're not serving. More than that, Oved comes from the word la'abed, when you take a coarse, a piece of hide. Hide that needs to be, a hide of an animal is not ready yet to be used for a garment. It's not used to be made into a nice, fine pocketbook or other type of leather purse or something. It's not ready yet to be made into a piece of parchment. First you have to really work on it and twist it and bend it and turn it back and forth, because it's tough. Tough material. In order to make it soft and flexible, it's pliable, it needs that working out. So that's the thing. You have to get to the tough part of you. You have to get to the animal skin in you. That's why it's also called Oved, it's La'abed, so it comes from Abed. Also Elokim, because this part of you comes from the divine concealments, which allow, Elokim means concealment, which allows for the nature of the animal soul to become so full of itself, so thick. Like tanned hides. You have to tan them and work them. And this is also what the sages tell us in regard to the malach, to the angel, the malach that is in charge on pregnancy. When he brings the seed in front of God and he says, what's going to happen with this? What kind of person is this going to be? Is it going to be weak or strong, smart or foolish, rich or poor? The destiny of the person is proclaimed then in all areas. One thing is not proclaimed, tzaddik or rasha, whether it will be a tzaddik or rasha. How does it fit with what we're saying over here, that sometimes God inspires? The answer is God can inspire from today till tomorrow, but it's not going to affect the animal. The only one who can affect the animal is you and your own work. And if you're not willing to do that, you're going to remain an animal. Just we all remain the same animal that we were before. Ve'ilu tzadik ha'irasha loy kamar. Tzadik ha'irasha doesn't say. Ve'zeo ki'akrav mikem. Kalayim ha'loshin mikem ha'inu ha'nefesh ulekis levan. Of you, part of you. Avo karbanchem, but your sacrifice is min ha'behema from the animal. Ha'inu levar ha'nefesh ha'bahamis. You have to get to the animal. Leo is betchenes eskafya. First you have to break it, because you can't change it, that we learned last week. We learned in the mind that you can't change the animal in you overnight. First you have to break it and soften it, and then you can transform it. This hapcha, and then transform it, ayadei is boinenus bigdulas Hashem, through the contemplation in God's greatness. Kefiya shesichla yuchal se'es. According to the person's ability, capacity of understanding, lahoylev mezet, to give birth from this, ahava aza gam benefesh abahamas, to create intense love even in the animal soul. However, first, before you can create love in the animal soul, first you have to break it. First you have to break it in the three garments. Three garments of the soul are called the thought, speech, and action. Which means you don't think what you naturally are inclined to think. You might think immoral thoughts. Even if it's not immoral, it can be completely, you know, thoughts just about becoming a millionaire and just about having, you know, I don't know what kind of thoughts that our mind is. Tendency of the mind to go off fantasizing all kinds of fantasy. So over there you have to break that thought. Dibur and speech. You don't speak what you want to speak. Gossip, for sure not, but even if it's not, that just, you know, things that are just meaningless, and you break it and you speak what should be spoken. Well, my sin and action. Besur meira, and turning from evil. Vaseh tov, and doing good. Vacharkah, and after you break it, soften it for a while, then you can turn it. But now the Alter Rebbe is adding more. Not only is the verse telling you from the animal you should offer your sacrifice, meaning you also need to engage the animal in you. It's also telling you the method. How do you elevate your animal? Min ha-behema, by contemplating the supernal animal. Ha-behema, just like Adam means the supernal man. Min ha-behema, from the animal above. Because we said earlier, the way to change the animal soul is to meditate on the source of the animal itself, on the angelic beasts who love God. So the here is, min ha-behema takrivu es karbanchem. From the supernal animal above, by meditating how it too loves God, you can elevate the animal and reabsorb the animal below into the animal above and change it. Hainu kemavu le'el, as we said before, shekedei lachni alavar nefesh bahamnes, in order to subjugate and to refine the animal soul, who dafka yadei shorsha, is dafka through its root, it's precisely through its root, umakaira, and its source. Mipchinas pnei shorsha v'makava, in the face of the ox that is in the chariot. V'zehu shemaskirim shebishtayim shalofnei adekrishma eich shamalachim, that's why we mention in the two blessings before the Shema, how the angels, v'chayas hakodesh, and the angelic beasts, makadishim, sanctify yumamlichen, and they crown God. Because it's this that the animal soul will get excited about. And the reason, and this is what it means. You have to think about that animal above, and we said the quintessential animal, and that's going to enable and inspire your own animal. Well, Pidish, and here the Alter Rebbe is just, if the mimer needed a topping, this is it. Well, Pidish, the Alter Rebbe says, the verse continues, from your animal, from the bakar, which means cattle, and tzayin, from the sheep. And here the Alter Rebbe tells us something really amazing. Hainu, shnei madrekes chalukai sheyesh b'nefashes ha'bahamas. There's two different kinds of animal souls, two different human characters. There are people that you look at them and you see an ox. Meaning you see them, you'll see it. What do I mean? They have a very ox, they have a very aggressive nature. And they're constantly getting into fights. They're constantly getting ticked off, and they're in shul. They're constantly, you hear them all the time. They're. So there is that angry nature. They have this great temper, and it's always there. So you say, what an animal. But then you have the subtle type of person that feels that, you know, I'm not an animal. I'm just such a fine, good. But that says, well, they're sheep. Sheep are also an animal. It's a different kind of an animal. Subtle, it's fine, it smiles to everybody, it's so compassionate. But all it thinks about the whole day is its food and its other pleasure. That's the only thing it says. So the other says, you can be a very tame and quiet animal, but you're so stuck up in your own pleasures and your own thing. So everybody's got an animal to deal with. No one is exempt. No one is born, you know, enlightened, inspired, and purified. Everybody's got to deal with something. Some people have to deal with their aggressive nature. Some people have to deal with their pursuit for pleasure and indulgence. That's your animal. But everybody's got an animal. And if you don't refine the animal, then you're very limited in terms of your spiritual capacity. You will always remain stuck in the limited form of what? So that's the point. Min ha-baka. Whether it is, as he says, ki yesh mishum p'chinas bakar. There is one that is an ox. Kishar nagachu, he's a goring bull. P'chinas gevura is kashas. He has hard gevura in him. V'ayinu mishu kasen b'tivoy, a person who is extremely, naturally he has an angry disposition. Shemida razu, this negative mida, who by this gabris yaitu, is very intense in him. The yachuna b'shem bakar, that's why it's called a calf. Hashem arashchanis, just like a wild bull. The yashmi she'ena raschen b'tiva, and there's someone who's not naturally the chelak harasha boy, but his evil is who ayoyse bal taiva. He's a very big bal taiva, lustful person, and in other words, no one notices it, but in his own life, he's extremely intense. V'ushanashya b'hamis u'mepchenasoy. His animal soul is more of a sheep. She'ena nakhanis, it doesn't bother anybody. Adar abu koylam b'rachmanis. Their voice is very compassionate and very nice and very good, and it seems like we would say this is a real mensch. It's not a mensch. It's an animal. It's a sheep. It's a little lamb. But it's a lamb nevertheless. It's still a behemoth. Elosh and Bali Tainus. They're very lustful. All this needs to be broken. You gotta get the animal, whatever animal it is. Takrivu es karban chan, you offer your own animal. Call echad lefima the yad of enafshe. Everybody according to what they know themselves. Muhusay v'tivay. First, you have to know yourself. You have to know what my character, what kind of thing. Kach yira lekafya midazu. So a person who doesn't get angry says, you know, I'm really refined. You might never get angry. The Rebbe says that's not working on your animal. That's not your. That was not the rough material you got. You have to work in the thing that's difficult to you. That's where you have to break your animal. The oz yeh davar hamaskaya. The whole thing. The whole zoo. V'azi yadav ramaskayim, and then it's going to be lasting. V'zehu, the idea is, mashcheini yachrecha narutza. Draw me and then I will run after you. Mashcheini lashin yachid. Draw me in the singular. Hisrusa d'leyela. This is the arousal from above. La'oyde rahavet tiviz. To arouse the natural love. Shebenafesh alikis. That is in the godly soul. V'ayim ha-shakasim inyim mashicha gabi birchis ha-mazim. Parshas ekev. Shaykh is brisa tayla birchas amazin. Vehine al yadei zeh, but through this, hanefesh alakis mevareres damkin and nefesh bahamas. Now the godly soul will also use this to refine the animal soul. The zeh acherecha narutza. We will run. We will run. Lashon rabim bishnei haritzonos, with both of our desires, nefesh alakis and nefesh bahamas, the godly and the animal. The zeh yofa atrayasi kisirza. I'm a shakadu namazin and yofa rayasi. Achakach nema. But afterwards, what does the verse continue? The verse in Songs of Songs in Shir HaShirim. Mashcheini, draw me. Acharecha narutza, after you, we will run. And then it says, Havieini hamelach hadarav. The king has brought me into his chambers. Now, in the last part of the verse, the king has brought me into his chambers is again singular. Havieini, he brought me. Hamela, and it's also in the past. Havieini, he brought me. The other ones are, Mashcheini, draw me. We will run after you. Havieini, he brought me. The king drawed me in chadarav into his private room. What does that mean? Lashon Yachid. So here the Alter Rebbe says, this is referring to the divine light. There is like this. There's three stages. There is God jump-starting it. Then there is us doing our part to stimulate ourselves if we don't just allow ourselves to be, just go along with it, but to do something of our own. Then, once we create a stimuli from below, this draws down again a revelation from above. But the revelation of above that's coming now is from a much higher place, from a much deeper place in God than the revelation of the introduction where God introduced before to get us going. That is hinted to in the last part of the verse. Havieini amelach hadarav, the king has brought me into his chambers to be so intimate with him. Because he says, ki hadarav, the word cheder means in the chamber, but in Hebrew the word cheder is ches dalad resh. Ches Dalad Reish is an acronym for the word for Chesed chesed, din, and rachamim. Chesed, gevura, is din is judgment, and rachamim, compassion. This refers to entering to God's chambers means to be able to connect to God through His Torah. Particularly, God's Torah, God's inner chambers are the six orders of the Mishnah. Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral Torah, has six compartments, six orders, right? So they're called cheder. So when we ask there as a result, in prayer, when we get inspired, and through prayer we work on ourselves, and we break our habits, and we break our tendencies, and we go beyond, we go that extra mile, we do that extra. So then later when we study Torah, we enter into God's private chamber, we experience the greatest connection to Hashem, far beyond what we were able to bring, create from within our own. God's reciprocation. Why chedarot? Why does cheder have to do with shisei siddur Mishnah? Because what is Mishnayis all about? All the six parts of Mishnayis is to determine what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. What is permitted, what is not permitted. What is when you're guilty and when you're innocent. Nezikin is speaking about guilt and innocence. What is kosher, what is non-kosher. What is pure, tamei, what is impure. Each part is differentiating. What yeah and what no. What God likes and what God dislikes. So these are the three primary emotions of God. One of them is chesed, kindness, which really translates as love. What He is attracted to, what He likes. And those are the things God say we could integrate into our service of God. This is kosher, this is permitted, this is good. Use it in your life so you can draw it closer to me. Then there's the God thinks God says, ugh, I don't like that. That comes from what God rejects. So there's chesed, there is din, and these three things are what determine the whole force of Mishnah, are really an expression of the divine emotion. Then there's rachamim, which is the intermediary. Maybe sometimes yeah, a little bit no. That comprises shishesiddur. So that's called cheder, chesed, din, rachamim, which is really the whole structure of shishesiddur Mishnah, which are really the three emotions. Really, they translate into the six emotions, but the three primary emotions are cheder, chesed, that's why the six, because there's really six emotions. So over there we get intimate, we get connected to God's emotions. Because before we talk about creating our emotions, then we connect to His, Aviyeni HaMelech Hadar. But why does it, so that follows it, but why does it say He brought me in the past? If this is the great divine revelation, let's put it this way, when a Jew studies Torah, any time you study, even if you didn't prepare yourself at all, there's something godly, divine taking place in your neshama. There's something holy, there's a connection being made. But in a very limited form, because you don't feel it, you don't sense it, if you didn't done all this preparation, and if you really pray, and afterwards you learn, then it's deep, rich, you feel the godliness flowing in your soul. When you're learning them, it can be learning the Mishnayis, and it can be learning it in its very physical manifestation. But there is that energy there, there's divinity in it. It's not just, because God flows in it. But if that's the case, so why does it say, we understand why it says after the other two, because it follows, but why does it say, Havieni, He brought me? Because here's the thing. Torah we don't start studying in our present lifetime. Torah we studied already in the womb, before we were created. The angel taught us the entire Torah. And that's what enables us later to restudy the Torah again, and to be able to capture that light again, because it was really part of our neshama. Havieni, the King has brought me in the past, right? But that was only our neshama, that was only our soul. That's why it says, Havieni, in the past, the King has brought me into His... I mean, God has made me familiar with the six Shishei Sidra Mishnah before we were born. Then we forgot it. But why did we forget it? We didn't forget it completely. It remained embedded in the subconscious. It's still there. And that empowers the soul to get reconnected. Let's read it inside. Ve'achkach nemer aviyeni ha-melech hadarav loshen yochid. Ki hadarav haino shishi sidra mishnah, shita sidra mishnah, the six orders of Mishnayas, shehem b'chinas, which are chesed gevura teferes, kindness, gevura teferes, chesed din rachman, rosh teves cheder, that's the acronym for the word cheder. Shemehem nimshach, from this is what decides kosher, what is kosher, or pasul, what is pasul, which is... kosher is, what's pasul? No, pasul is not permitted. Disqualified, unfit. Tamei, what is pure? Tamei, what is impure? Tare, what is pure? Chayim, what is guilty? Vezakar, what is innocent? Avieni, loshen avar. And avieni, in the past, That's what the sages tell us. When the fetus is in the mother's womb, they teach the Torah, the whole Torah. Now, here's an interesting thing. When the fetus is in the womb, the physical fetus is in the womb during the 9 months of pregnancy, the soul is also in the womb, in the heavenly womb, up there being prepared to be brought down to this world. And just like the body down here is growing and is receiving all the nutrients and the vitamins from the mother in order to grow, so too spiritually the soul above is at that time being energized, and God is downloading. It's like when you do, it's like downloading everything, is empowering the neshama with incredible powers so it should be able to deal with this rough terrain that it's going to come down in this life. So there it's all taking place in the soul above. And so then it's hainu ba'oid haneshama bebchinas ibur lamayla, while the soul is in a state of pregnancy above. And this gives the strength achakach sheyar le'oir Hashem, that God should light the light of God, and the power of the love and the fear liyos mashcheni, to be drawn dahainu lefisha mekvar evieni amelech hadar, in order that we should be able to first receive God's light when God stimulates. There's three stages. In order for us even just to be able to be woken up by God's light, why do we feel it? Why do we get excited when there is... That comes from us being first recipients of that light before we were born. So now when it comes down to us, even while we're alive, we remember it. It becomes excited. Secondly, the power for us to start working and doing something with it also comes because we studied. We got that. That was given to us, that ability to be able to take it in our own and to do something with it. And then later, to be able to experience the ultimate unity as a result of the great light that comes as a fruits of our labor, as a result of us trying and working on it on our own. But here's an interesting thing. This is all very good if we are the beneficiaries of this great revelation from above. But we're not in control of that. It says, Adam ki yakriv, if man will draw. If we're lucky, it will happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Is there any way that we can help cause that initial jump start to take place? Is there any way that if a person feels that there's just, you feel you don't have the strength to start working on your own, you feel like you would like to experience that, give me another chance, God, give me that boost from above, and I'm going to try to do something on my own. You know, this is also when you try to get it, when a car freezes up, so you need to get cables. So you jump start the car. So you all know the rule. You know, if you shut the car down a minute after the cables are put on and the car goes back and dies, but you don't have anything. You have to leave the car, move the cables, then you have to leave the car. It's better to drive around for a while to get its own energy, and then it will last, then it will recharge the battery. But if we want that recharging to take place, if we need that recharging to take place, how can we help that happen? So the Rebbe says there is a way of doing it. There is, that stimulation comes from the Adam. We said before, Adam Kiyakrif. When the man above, supernal man, is there anything in our lives that's called Adam to get that? It says Torah is called Adam. Zos Torah sa Adam. The Torah comes from Adam. Torah is called Adam. So when a person says, I'm not inspired, I don't feel it, but I need that inspiration. So try make a specific Torah class with the intent of learning 20 minutes, a half an hour, whatever the time can afford you. Not as a result of all this inspiration. You're still in the pre-inspired state. Study. Every person can study. Study the laws. This has a magical effect. You study the laws, you're touching upon that Adam, especially if you're aware of it. And you're doing it with this intent. This is going to stimulate the Adam above to send down. Now, this is not called arousal from below, because it's not really your toil and your effort. It's not a hard effort. It's not you're doing something. It might be hard to set aside some time for Torah. But we're not talking about the real labor that he spoke about earlier in transforming yourself and meditating. That's the real labor. This is studying. Everybody can take a book of Talmud, the article, it's all translated into English. You can learn. Everybody can learn. So you learn the Mishnah, you learn Halacha, whatever it is that you learn Chumash. You learn with the intent of learning. This causes the flow from above. This will hopefully provoke this Adam Ki Yakriv. Get it started. Once you get it started, you can take it and run from there. As he says, Adam Ki Yakriv, to draw down this Adam Ki Yakriv, we don't have to wait for these auspicious moments. It's through studying Torah. Shehi b'chinas adam, which is considered man. Because why does the Torah deal with the 248 positive commandments, the 365 negative commandments, or prohibitive commandments, which constitute the human being? That's what a human being is. Ki demach pikudin, the 248 positive commandments, are emach evarim, the 248 limbs of God. The shesal lo yisaseh, and the 365 negative prohibitions, shesal gidim, are the 365 Particularly, I would assume, and the Rebbe doesn't say it over here, that's why the Rebbe, one of the things you can say is the Rebbe instituted the study of the Rambam. Because if any part of the Torah that you get to learn all the mitzvot, particularly you go through every halacha, all the 300 things, is in the study of the Rambam, because the Rambam goes through every mitzvah. In Shulchan Aruch, you don't have only the mitzvot that pertain to our days. The Rambam covers all of the Torah. So therefore, through the study of the Torah, nimshach li'ot kiyakrav. This draws down that God should draw us close. As it says, Karev Hashem l'chol kairav. As it also says, God is close to whoever calls him, we say in Ashrei, l'chol ashe yikra'uhu bi'emes. To whoever calls him in truth. Because God is close to whoever calls him in truth. What is called calling God in truth? Calling God in truth means Torah is called truth. Ain emes ela Torah. So when we call, when we read Torah, we're calling God. And this is not so much the understanding of the Torah. It's the letters, uttering the holy letters. That's calling God. We learned about it a couple of weeks ago. Pasha Shavos, about the pregnancy, we're learning that reading the letters of Torah call forth a divine illumination. And this is the idea. Shebe'esik haTorah, by the study of the Torah, it's Nemar, it says, O yachsik b'mu'uzi, it says he will hold on to my strength. Yasa shalom li, this will make peace for me. Shalom yasa li, peace he will make for me. So what does it mean? If you will hold on to his strength, it will make peace to me, and it repeats peace twice. Base palmim shalom, to make peace. Because the thing is like this, O's Torah is called strength. If we hold on to God's strength, which means we hold on to the Torah, so then we cause the illumination to come down in order to make peace between the animal soul and the godly soul. Because like this, they're in two. There's a tug of war. One pulling one way, the other pulling the other way. We want to make peace between them. And the only way to make peace in your life is to get your animal to consent to your godly. Because the godly will never consent to the animal. That will never happen. So therefore, a person who wants to be torn, if a person is willing to live a torn life, a life that is a life that is fragmented and broken. So then, if you allow the animal to remain an animal, that's going to be, because the godly soul will never join the animal soul. It's godly; it can't change. The animal soul is the only one that could be sublimated, and it's meant to be sublimated. So the only way to have peace, true tranquility, and peace in your life, is to go through this. This is not optional. Basically, all this stuff that we learned tonight—it's hard, it's difficult, labor, but this is a must. Everybody's got to do this because this is what we're here for. We're here to illuminate the darkness and to raise ourselves up. Peace, peace to the far, to those that are distant and those that are close, meaning we want to draw the distant one, the animal soul, close. This is the idea of Adam ki yakriv mikem. This is also what we say, tishmeru lahakriv li. There's another verse that says, by the everyday sacrifice, by the Karban Tamid, it says, God says, every day you should bring the offering, the daily offering, tishmeru, you should guard it, lahakrivli, to offer to me. Now, it uses the same word, lahakrivli, adam ki yakriv, same word. Because tishmeru, the Gemara says, ein shmira ela mishnah. Mishnah is called shmira. So which means through studying the Mishnah, which really means through studying the Torah, la'akrif li, this stimulates the man from above to draw us close. So the one is connected. Shemar izu Mishnah, shayidei zeh nimshach li is la'akrif li, to draw to me. Ta'ayim ha'shakas tazmei v'matnas karboni, v'rabes kehelas, okay, adem mechad me'elof etzasi, zeh moishah bol elof doira, zeh zotzi elof doira, zeh mga'am al-yakar, then ayidei ha'tayra. Okay? V'zehu, and this is the idea, v'dabir al-b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'amar talem adem ki'akriv. Adam ki Yaakov. Adei ze gam kin acha kach, and afterwards min adehema takrivu. Kenal, why they came a mitzvahs, sha mitzvah yesh le skill of pratis, la haos et nefesh bahamas, la kashem bo erin. So the Baruch Hu could stuck at random goy. Now he's saying something else. Saying this, Torah study is what causes what? Torah study is what causes the jump starting. Adam kiyach. How do we have the power to have achrecha narutza after we will run? How do we have mitzvahs is more influential in elevating the animal in man? Because mitzvah engages more your physical self. Torah engages more your spiritual self, your soul. Mitzvah engages more the part of you that the clumsy part, the heavy part, the thick part. And that's why it says tzedakah, which is the essence of all mitzvahs, teromeim goy, it elevates a nation. The deeper meaning is, it elevates the goy that's in you. We have a Jew in us, and we have a goy in us. We have to deal with the goy. Tzedakah teromeim goy. The tzedakah is the part that elevates the goy, the Gentile in us. V'hine, based on all this, is all preparation for Pesach. Now the Alter Rebbe says, all this that we spoke about now, really, this is supposed to be in our generally in our lives. Particularly, there's a time in the year that we experience this whole procedure. And this works like this. Pesach night, or the first day Pesach, is the time when God, Mashcheni, Adam Kiyakrif, takes place on Passover. Because what happened in Passover the first time? Where were the Jews in Passover? The Jews were entrenched in Egyptian culture. They were completely enmeshed in the depravity and the lowliness and the coarseness of Egyptian lifestyle. In the immorality of Mitzrayim. They were lowly. They were extremely lowly. God came down and shined His bright light without any preparation. The Jews were in the 49 gates of unholiness. God came down, as the verse says, Koil Doidi Doisik. The voice of my beloved was banging on the window. And He said, Pischili, open up the door for me. Achaisi, my sister, my beloved. Let me in. So God is the one who bangs on us, on our soul, every Pesach. And He comes and He evokes our neshama. There's this tremendous illumination happening on Pesach. It's the time when God initiates. But then, what happens immediately after the first day Pesach? What do we start right after that? We start counting the Omer. And we learned this last week. What is the counting of the Omer? Counting of the Omer, Omer is the animal food. We spoke about that last week. The Omer is the barley, the animal food. Immediately after the first day Passover says, okay, I've done mine, I jump-started it now. I've granted you your freedom. I've liberated your soul. I broke your soul out of the constraints. You feel your soul. You come in touch with your godly aspirations, with your holy ambitions. You're in touch with the fire, with the energy of your soul. Now do something with it. Engage your animal. Usfartem es ha-omer. Purify the barley in you. Vehenef es ha-omer. Pick it up. That's labor. That's 49 days. Pesach is a one-day experience. It's a one powerful boost. Now you go do your own Omer. You go your own lifting. And then on Shavuos, what's the last thing? We work for 49 days. And then Shavuos is the time, the day that God transmits the Torah to us. That's the arousal from above that follows the work from below. That's the Havieni HaMelech Hadar of the King brings me into His chambers. That's the ultimate unity and fusion of the Jew and God. We unite, we become completely one with Him. Based on all this, you will understand Damkin Inyan Pesach, the idea of Pesach, Sfira Sa'omer, and counting of the Omer. Ki the Pesach on Pesach is Serusa Del Yael, the arousal of above. La Oirer is Serusa Del Atata. To arouse this, the arousal from below. The Serusa Del Yael, who La Oirer Haratzai. And this arousal from above is only to jumpstart, to arouse the yearning. Benefesh alukis, in the godly soul, that it should crave for God. Avala nefesh abahamis, but the animal soul, loynis hapcha. The animal and man didn't get transformed at that. Elekach nemar, that's why it says something else by Mitzrayim. It says ki barach ha'am. It says that by Egypt we escaped. The people escaped. Paro went running after them because they escaped. And the question is, why did they have to escape? If Paro would have let them out voluntarily for 3 days. We know, because Moshe asked Paro to let them only go out for 3 days. So he gave them permission for 3 days. Then they tricked them and didn't go back. So they escaped. We kind of wonder, why did he do that? Why couldn't he just ask Pharaoh to dismiss them, to release them completely? Paro anyway didn't do it out of his goodwill. God twisted his arm until he had no choice. So then he could have said to them, let them out. They wouldn't have to escape. It seems a little bit like he tricked us. It seems a little bit like not fair what we did. What's the point of escaping? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, the reason why the Jews escaped was because the physical redemption is a manifestation of the spiritual redemption. Spiritually, the Jews in Egypt had to run away from their own demons, from their own animal soul. Which means when God illuminated their souls. They got excited. Their souls that was always there, the godly soul, they were children of Abraham. They had this holiness in them. It was asleep for 210 years. When God revealed himself in Egypt, it went ablaze. So they had this yearning. They ran after God in the desert. They were excited. They were going to follow him. They didn't ask any questions. There was such a burst of divine, of love, of everything. The problem was, that was only their better self, their higher self. Their other part of them was remained just as cold, just as earthy, just as this. And therefore, if they would have left slowly, they would have hung around Mitzrayim, then a day later they might have been desiring, they might have been experiencing that a relapse of their own, of their old, and that's what we still find for a while later. They kept on saying, "Let's go back to Egypt." Meaning there was still a part of them that still craved for the delights and the, I remember the fish, I remember the this that we had in Egypt. There was the cucumbers and the onions and the garlic and the melons. That's what they were craving. So there was a part of them that was still unrefined. So therefore God said, that's why when you have that, you got to escape. If you're refined, if you're elevated, if you're enlightened completely, you don't have to run away. You can be in front of something that is unholy and it doesn't attract you. But if you still have an alcoholic, you can't leave him in a liquor store. Even if he's been to one, what are those classes called? One of those, even if he's been to one of those things, it's not good enough yet. Maybe 20, 30 years later, after he's been cleansed himself completely, then you can leave, because then he has lost already his appetite for it. So that's the point. The reason why spiritually the Jews escaped, because spiritually, that's why physically they also escaped. Because that was it. They ran away from Egypt. It says when Mashiach comes, you won't run. Because then, throughout the thousands of years of purification, everything in us will have been transformed already. So there's no reason to run from the evil, because even if it's here in front of it, it's not appealing. It lost its appeal. So that's the point. So there, the arousal was only to their God, to their godly soul. Avla nefesh abaham is their animal soul, and it's hapchadai. It wasn't l'chei nema ki barach ha'am. K'ma shekaz v'sif sh'beinim saf perik lamad alas, as it says in time. V'zeo ki'inyan odom ki'akriv mikem. God inspired them. K'ma shekaz v'sif k'il doidi, the voice of my beloved. God's voice was thundering over the mountains. It says medali del harim, he was jumping, skipping over the mountains. What does it mean, skipping over the mountains? We said before that this Adam Kiyakir is associated with the Torah. A person studies Torah, he stimulates. This is the Torah that you study before you work. There's a story you study, there's a Torah you study later, but there's the Torah that you study before. Harim, Torah is called a mountain. Medalagam Shub is Chisa Torah and Nikra Har. We know that more than that. We know the Jews went out of Egypt. What was their merit that they went out of Egypt? Tavdala Esalukim Alahar Azeh. You will serve God on the mountain. Which means that the whole arousal from above is associated with the Torah, as we said before. Adam is the man, is the Torah. So Shanikra Har Kamashikasa Yisu Harim Shalom La'am. And there we see the Torah is called like Kamashikasa Makamah. Elchein, therefore, achakach, take it from a yad b'yoyim sheni. Right away, we don't wait. The second day, that's why this offering is not on the first day Pesach. Because the first day Pesach, you can enjoy. One day God gives you. Sit back, relax, enjoy the radiance coming to you. But then on the second day, start working. Who take it from a yad b'yoyim sheni, who karben o'omer. Second, immediately on the second day, is already the sacrifice of the omer. So'irim, which is barley. Shumachal behema, which is food of the animal. Leo is bitter nefesh abahamis, because we have to refine the animal in that. Usfira sa'oimer, and sfira doesn't only mean counting, it means polishing. Usfartem, cause it to shine. Lochem, svartem lochem, purify the lochem, purify the part, the you part. Bechinas bitter zayin midas nefesh abahamis. And to refine the seven emotions, that's why there are 7 weeks. We learned last week. Each day you work on a different one of the emotions. For who ki'inyan mina behema mina bakar. This is the same idea. From the animal you should take it. Takrivu, you offer. Tahainu sarusa de latata. You do your work. Tazayan then, ayadeza achekach peshvuas. Then on shvuas, matan Torah, there is the giving of the Torah. Hu pchinas sarusa de liyela. This is the arousal of above. Sha'achar sarusa de latata. That comes after our work. His galus ritzayne vechachmasay lamata. And this is constituted in God's will and God's wisdom being revealed down here below. That's what Shavuos is. God reveals. However, you'll say, well, if there's Torah before and there's Torah after, what really is the difference? It's all Torah. It's the same. We study Torah before to cause the initial excitement. Then we study Torah after. What's really the difference? The answer is like this. The Torah we study before the work comes from the face of man that's above. Adam. The face of man that's above the throne. Which means from the 10 attributes of Atzilus. That's where the arousal to stimulate us to get excited. However, the Torah we study after Sfiras HaOmer, after the work from below, comes from the level that's called Kiloy Adam. He's not a man. It comes from the infinite light. It comes from God as He transcends the Adam. It comes from the crown. That's why Shavuos is what? On the 50th day. 50th is the crown. Keser, the crown. It's already above it all. Because it comes from a place beyond. And it's drawn from beyond Adam into the Adam. But it's not just a little higher. It's a complete different level. Completely, it's from the essence of God, not from His external. Because this is what He really desires. He wants our work. He wants that we should toil for it. Therefore, He responds. That's what He's saying. This is us rising upward. God will draw down. The ayin barabis parshas v'schanan ashaloykrim krezim v'hefresh. Here he explains that the difference shebeim pchinas esek atayra shekoydem aratz. What's the difference between the study of Torah which comes before one's stimulates himself? The ayin pchinas adam kiyakr, the adam that draws. The pchinas esek atayra sheacher aratz to the study of Torah that comes that follows it. Ubirin nefesh b'hamis. What's the difference? Hayne shaliy deizah aratz ubirin nefesh b'hamis nimshach be'esek atayra mepchinas kiloy adam. Then it is drawn down from the level kilo Adam that he's not a man. You draw down from that place a new drawing bibchinas Adam in the face of man from a place that's far beyond it. As stated elsewhere. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful week.